It's not going to be a great cold opening. Trust me when I say. So, Danny.
Yeah.
I think it's about time we address something rather serious.
I don't want
to. A lot of people have reached out to us about this. You know, there's allegations. Uh-huh. There's accusations, even, I would say. Yeah. And I feel as though it's our civic duty to address this. And the answer is yes, for all of you asking. We have been keeping Akira Toriyama alive. And it was our break that killed him. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't know. All right. Our life force is too regenerative. He was our biggest fan.
Why are you admitting this? Why are you admitting this?
Because people have been asking, Danny.
You told me you were going to do the cold open. We both fought for the cold open today. Yeah. And you were like, no, I'm going to do it. Mine's going to be sick. Mm. And you admit to us having to be involved in the death. My cold open was going to be, I'm sorry to announce Akira Toriyama has died and I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my cold open. Too bad, you friend. Bastard.
Because for all of you who've watched our show for the last year and a half,
yeah.
He was alive while we were running our show, dies when we're away. So
for those of you who have been keeping up for the last year and a half, we might have had something to do.
We might have had something to do.
If you watch enough of our videos.
Listen, I'd like to think somehow one of our podcasts came in front of Akira Toriyama and then he was like, Nandeo, what is that? I don't fucking speak English. But little did he know, yeah, we were keeping him alive, ladies and gentlemen. But rest in peace to Akira Toriyama.
The second Akira Toriyama died, I went straight to Google News and typed in Hayao Miyazaki. And I was like, if this guy's dead too, we are fucked. We are absolutely fucked.
Listen, we've got nothing but good words for Hayao, but maybe, like, take...
You want him dead.
Listen, we're back now. That's all that matters, all right? If Hayao's still alive, that means he could take more than 4 weeks
he's
off.
He's hanging on by a thread. It's like Final Destination.
He was stronger.
Akira was first.
Yep.
And then death was coming for Hayao.
But we had a baby.
Yeah.
We avoided the truck scene.
Yeah, exactly. But... yeah, it is a bummer. Despite the jokes and despite my initial reaction genuinely being, this will kind of be funny for the podcast, I did, like, the day Akira Toriyama passed, which was like 4 or 5 days ago or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember the specific date. I, like, people always talk about, like, oh, there's, like, when Robin Williams died, there was, like, a thickness in the air, like, a looming sadness. And I'd never felt that until this.
Yeah.
Where I just felt the anime community, like, kind of grieving over it.
Yeah.
And part of it is because, like, every fucking person had to be like, this is how Akira Toriyama touched me and this and that. And it's like, make, you know... say something happy about him. Don't say how sad you are. But, like, it was very, like, interesting. Because we've talked about how, like, we don't love the direction Dragon Ball has gone in.
Yeah.
But regardless, I felt the absence of, like, Akira. And I was like, oh, man, this is,
well, that's
is, like,
the thing.
Tough.
It's like, I didn't want to, like, come in here and be like, us, Akira Toriyama's biggest fans. When we're like, his editors are the only reason Dragon Ball's even remotely good. But, like, obviously, that's like being like, oh, Shakespeare, like, don't love his works. Can't deny his claim over literature history. You know, it's like,
I think when Shakespeare died, there was some like written pot.
There was a guy like who only had 140 characters because it was before Twitter made the change, and he was like, you know what? Wasn't even that good. Like, rest in piss, bozo. And then just nailed it to a door, and he's like, it's gonna do numbers.
Just some crier outside who goes from hear ye to well, well, well. fucking dead.
Saw it coming, get shit on, nerd. Died on his birthday. Yeah. What a loser.
Yeah, but no. Like, is that true? Will Shakespeare died on his birthday?
Yep.
Bummer, his death day.
Yep.
But no, like, yeah, I agree. Like, I didn't want to, like, go on camera, like, bawling, being like, I'm the biggest Dragon Ball fan.
Me, I'm when, like, the biggest Dragon Ball fan has been like, this guy fucking sucks nuts.
The biggest Dragon Ball fan has outed me for not being one.
Yeah.
But, no, but his art style... they, like, most mangaka have, like, their unique art style, but I'd say, like, other than Oda, none really as iconic as Akira's. Like, even when he worked on other things, like, Chrono Trigger, he made all the art for.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, there was, like, Dr. Slump, Aureli, stuff like that. Like, you know instantly that it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool art style. I always loved the way he draws spiky haired people.
Obviously his presence felt ever, because there's like so many people that like so many different shows and all that. I remember Billy and Mandy. Billy and Mandy did a thing, and then Codename Kids Next Door did a thing. Yeah. It was like his influence is kind of, it's like the Akira bike slide. Like the spiky hair is just like, it's literally felt everywhere. So like I can like sit here and be like objective about the fact that I don't like Super and that GT was dumb and that like, and like I like Dragon Ball Z, but the pacing was a nightmare, which is why they had to make Kai. But like at the end of the day, it was what opened the floodgates to the Western world of anime. Like, so you can like be like, oh, Dragon Ball is not as good as X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah, but like without Dragon Ball, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah. Like, it's also like, it doesn't need to be good anymore. Like the dude's just doing a victory lap.
Yeah.
At that point, like if you made Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, he didn't even have to make shit anymore.
No.
Like, do just one anime and then just decided for the kindness of his heart to make Super, you know?
And he was like, yeah, I'm just going to like wade back into the waters that is the cesspool of anime fandom. And everyone was like, I don't like this. And he's like, I'm 70.
I don't care.
I genuinely don't give a shit. I'm interested to see what happens with Super. Like, like obviously to segue beyond like us, the glazing session on Akira Toriyama, rest in peace, obviously. And incredible Ongaka, his presence will be felt forever in the anime world.
I hope when you give my eulogy, because I will die first.
Oh,
it's
for
not
sure.
It's not a yada yada yada.
He said a couple of cringe things. Anyway, that has been Hotel Era was weird and fucking yada yada yada. So shitty haircut, right? Pretty gay haircut, if we're being real here. Yeah, no, we're gonna get straight to the discourse over your death. So we're gonna get to the Danny has a gay haircut thing in a second.
Wait a second, that's an original thought you just had.
Yeah, that's
you homophobe.
Me, baby. Yeah. Danny sucks dicks a lot over there. I'm curious about what they're going to do with Super, because Super's kind of been in like a relative hiatus, and it's probably because Akira Toriyama hasn't been doing great for a couple of years.
True, I didn't even consider that. Yeah.
Like it's like he hasn't been publicly seen until like since like 2019 or something.
Yeah.
So it's probably just like not crushing it health wise. And there's a lot of people who have been doing fan made projects of Dragon Ball Super, and it's been really good.
Yeah.
And I wonder if like those are going to work their way into being canonized, or if it's just going to be like somebody else going to pick up the story, if it's going to live in hiatus land forever, because like usually it's like, oh, the sun picks it up, or like the key illustrator, but I don't really know if there is that for Dragon Ball.
I know the manga is past where the anime stopped, so they'll at least adapt through that. I think they're just waiting for the manga to get like substantially ahead. They'll probably just give it to Hayao Miyazaki. Probably just do
nobody,
Dragon Ball because
nobody loves like just like screaming muscular men than Hayao Miyazaki's like, you know what, it's a woman lead now. And also pastels, and it's no longer about fighting in space. It's an exploratory journey to like try and find your childhood and lost adulthood.
And now it's goopy.
Goopiest. And also, let's get Edward Pattinson over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert Pattinson.
You got it.
I don't know.
You didn't have it, but you had it.
I found it. Yeah. Edward Pattinson works.
Boy,
did you.
Edward Cullen is why you're calling him that. Yeah.
Fucking, you're right.
Yeah, you combined
it. I just don't know. I know anime things. That's all of it's up here.
You know anime things in Twilight, kind of, I guess.
I haven't seen a singular one.
Really?
I also haven't seen Dune 2 yet.
Oh, that's right. Well, you've been gone.
I've heard it's very good. Dorothy is like, hey, let's go see Dune 2. I heard it was good. I was like, you didn't watch Dune 1. She was like, I thought it was boring. And I was like, if you haven't, if you haven't seen Dune 1, Dune 2 is just going to be a fucking name soup. Just going to be name soup. He's like, oh, there's a guy named Paul. They're on a desert town and Elvis is here.
It's funny because it tricks you into thinking it won't be name soup, because it's like, it stars Paul and his mom, Jessica. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I can wrap my head around these.
Yep.
And it's like, Paul, you need to ride the Shai Halud because you're the Lisa Al Gaib. And it's like, Jesus
Arrakis
Christ.
Of all the spice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is exceptionally good.
I've heard
it's really fucking cool. I call my dog Shai Halud
because you have to walk abnormally to get around her. If she sees you, she's gonna mob you.
Well, the Shai Halud is the giant sandworm on Arrakis. And she does what we call squirmy wormies in the morning.
She's a big squirmy wormy.
Yeah, she does like an army crawl. And I go, Shai Halud! Shai Halud, so nice to see you.
So, then just gets up on like all fours and she's like, may your knife chip and shatter.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
All right, chill out, Elvis.
Yeah, relax, relax. Yeah.
But no, so back to Dragon Ball. Uh-huh. I don't even know how we got the fucking Dune. Crazy that he's gone. I don't really actually have anything left to say. Fucking RIP Bozo.
What do you mean back to Dragon Ball? It wasn't a tangent. It was a transition from Dragon Ball.
Fucking rip Bozo, get clipped.
And, you know. Toriyama sure got 360 no-scope by that brain contusion. For sure. From that hemodomal whatever. Toxic Drift really came in and fucking, he got FaZe Clan
just
so
to see
hard
it, like a 2013 FaZe Clan edit. Yeah. Just like, it's just Akira Toriyama's four photos getting clipped.
It's like,
we joke because we love him, ladies and gentlemen.
We laugh because otherwise we'd cry. Yeah, so now, will you finally admit, because he's dead and you have to, that Gogeta and Vegeta are different people.
I refuse to do it. Because listen, if I can't say it to his face, I'm not saying it to his ghost.
What are you talking about? Say it to my face, you coward.
I simply won't do it. All right. I know he's up there watching, still not understanding what's going on in this podcast.
He is, for sure.
Because I like to think that in heaven, we're still split up by language.
He's like hovering over us and like God is behind him. He's like, why am I here? What am I doing here? Let me see my family.
I have grandparents, please.
Oda's saying some really nice things about me. Bring me to him.
That was literally, because Oda dies too. He's just like, you're coming with me. God.
Well, speaking of which, this is also, will probably get us in trouble.
Nice.
I have actual real,
do we have
list.
A death pool?
I have a death pool.
I thought you were going to be like,
that'd
next
be hype.
Next mangaka to go.
That'd be so hype and tasteless.
It's got to be Togashi. I'm sorry.
It's got to be Hayao.
No, oh, fuck.
That
no.
dude is on a steady diet of cigarettes.
And ramen. And like working. But like he loves work too much. He can't leave.
As long as there's a forest being deed, he'll be alive.
As long as like a tree's being cut down somewhere,
exactly.
There's a story being written about
it. He's the goddamn Lorax.
Absolutely.
As long as there's a forest to defend. But I have actual quotes from mangakas, like, talking about Akira Toriyama's passing.
Gotcha.
So, Ichiro Oda, I hope that the paradise is as pleasant as you imagined it in your manga, sensei. Very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Masashi Kishimoto, I've just learned of my sensei's death, and it's overcome, but this person doesn't know how to spell, and I'm overcome by a feeling of emptiness, even worse than when Dragon Ball ended.
I'd hope so.
I hope they'd be
low
sad.
Bar.
I have Yuki Tabata, the Black Clover mangaka.
Yeah.
Who?
What?
Akira Toriyama? Did he make Naruto?
The idea of Yuki Tabata just being like, oh no, seems like an old head to me. I'm cooking boomer.
Fuck. Oh, Dragon Ball. Yeah. Why don't we go ask my grandpa? I came up with transformations.
Spiky hair, more like.
Who cares?
Oh, Christ.
More like Akira Snoryama.
I can't. That's great.
The Black
That's Clover great. Mark. That's. I can't. I know you wrote that down before. There's no way that was top of the head. Oh, fuck. All right.
Anyway.
So Ninja Kamui. Wow. So a lot happened while we were away. Very clearly. Me and Daddy miss each other a lot, guys. We're home. Daddy's home.
Yeah. Our first day back, our last day back.
listen.
No one's going
to
like
We got
this.
Used to the freedom of not podcasting, and boy, oh boy, was it nice, all right?
I specifically texted you last night to not watch Ninja Kamui, and you watched all of it.
I watched it on the plane back.
Oh,
it was you were much too late.
Gotcha. How was it? It looks cool.
The dub? Not great.
No.
The dub is probably the worst dub I've seen in years.
Wow. So what is Ninja Kamui?
So Ninja Kamui is a story. It's like the most classic revenge story of all time. It's a story about a guy who's like, I fell in love with a female ninja and you're not supposed to have emotions. So we left because we were in love. And then the ninja clan was like, not cool. Can't do that. And they all have cloaking technology that changes their face. So
it's like
they move.
Just Hell's Paradise, isn't it?
Ah.
So he falls in love with like the Shogun's daughter. And then he's like, I'm not about this. And then the Shogun tries to kill him, the main guy.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the same thing, right?
More or less, yeah. Yeah, almost exactly. They don't get sent to an island, though. Right. It's like a whole thing where it's like, he is like running from the ninja community. The ninja community is being run by essentially Amazon.
Ninja community, like it's a bunch of Redditors.
There's like 400,000 of them, apparently. Right. They're no longer in Japan anymore. And then it's like, Amazon is also evil, which is, I love that. I love a good, corporations are the bad guy twist. And he, like, his entire family gets murdered. So he's like getting revenge against like the ninja clan. Essentially, and like that's the entire plot of the show is just like revenge. And every episode, there is 3-4-ish minute fights because the story itself could not be less original. It is, it is literally like Stank did a really good job of explaining it. Where like the dialogue is just like them kind of entering a room and being like, "There's dead people here," and then it's like, "Good job, we said it." You know, it's like literally just like. It's, you ever had, like, audio, like, assist for, like, watching a movie or something? Like, if you're on a plane and it accidentally turns it on, it's like, you hit this button. It's that. It's literally just, like, CC, like, it's closed captions for everything going on. The dub, though, I started the first 2 episodes when I was in France. I was like, we're all hungover sitting on a couch. I was like, I need to watch this for work. Throw on 2 episodes. Everyone's like, because it's easy to understand. It's like spoon fed to you, and it's just a bunch of fights. It's John Wick with ninjas, which is just John Wick 4.
Right.
And like, so they're like, wow, you're convincing us. Is this what all anime is? And I was like, usually they're actually better than this. But the fights
that's a good baseline then if they're already into it.
The fights are fucking nuts. Yeah. The fights are really cool.
Wow.
Like if you want like the Coco Melon of anime where it's just like. It's Dragon Ball, basically, where you just sit there and you just don't think about anything. And you just watch like people like get cut in half. You're just like, it's basically Dragon Ball with ninjas. So Naruto without the world building.
Right.
And it's fine. The Japanese, I don't know why I wasn't watching in Japanese. Like I was watching it in English. So like everybody who was watching it with me wouldn't be like, ew, I don't know these words. Right. But the fucking main voice actor, Higan. It's Kento Nanami. It's like the most,
crazy.
It's like the deepest voiced known man to like, I don't know his actual name, but like it's like in English, unbearable. Japanese, pretty good.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Wow. I still do want to check it out. Cause honestly, the way you described it is how I already watched Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes.
Where I'm like, I'm just here for the fight. Yeah. Give me a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if Nanami's in it, then fucking.
It's JJK without any of the need to explain itself.
Right.
It is literally just like, they're just doing hand signs and like growing arms and like blowing out smoke out of their mouths. Whoa. And they're not like, they do that. They're just like, they're not like, here's how that happens. They're just like,
yeah, it's not like, oh, he's from the Fire Clan. They're just like, oh shit.
Yeah. It's literally, they're not like, and he's able to do this because he's able to mold his chakra in 6 different ways. The begin and the end. It's literally just a guy does hand signs. Then he's got 6 arms and like, that's his secret art. And you're like, cool.
I like the concept of like, in a JJK fight, if whatever the dude with the blood magic, what's his Chozo.
Yeah.
Like, Chozo shows up and he starts doing blood magic. And instead of Gojo being like, oh, he's from this clan and that's a secret technique and he does it by compressing this. Like, Gojo's just like, oh, what the fuck?
ew!
It's like, oh, shit.
Is that your fucking blood?
Yuji, run! I don't know what the fuck this is!
Yuji, I literally just got over gonorrhea, please!
or they do explain everything and there is just one guy where Yuji's like, what is it, Gojo-sensei? He's like, I have no idea!
bugs in his skin! Why?
Jeez. Everybody check your skin for ticks.
It's like the whole thing about Naruto, like, to put one person in there and just like have him like run, just have like a guy named Fred who's just like, it's like Shino Aparame comes out and fucking beetles start coming out of his skin. Like, oh no, no!
Yeah, it's like Fred somehow 3 days in, they're like, all right, tune-in exams go. It's like, no. That's why I'd love a Pokemon season where Gaara is in it.
Yeah.
He's the only other anime character in it. And you know what? We talked about this before. It never occurred to me. Gaara's a ground type.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So he works in the Pokemon universe.
Absolutely, as long as there's no water types around.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what's ground weak to?
Yeah, water.
Water, nice.
And other things, I'm sure.
Steel, God,
yeah, you got
baby.
It.
And steel, I think.
He could fucking box the shit out of Pikachu, though. Like, Ash would be boned.
Yeah, just, like, imagine just like Ash being like, go, Pikachu, Thunderbolt. And Gar's just, like, sand bear. He's getting blood shooting out. Yeah. Is he fainted?
Just raining Pikachu. Yeah.
It's just the Ash just being like, I don't think the Pokeball can
piecing him together.
It's just the ball just aiming in all directions. It's just like, please. Yeah.
It's just like, go Pikachu, just sand funneling into his throat. Pikachu.
Pikachu just standing there, it's like, I don't know what to do, I'm not being told.
Pikachu, move! Dodge!
Fuck.
I used to hate in Pokemon when Ash goes dodge and Pikachu does it.
Mm.
Say that every goddamn attack. Yeah.
It's like every time Pikachu gets punched, it's like, hey man, say the words here.
You know, is it that Pikachu's like an attack is coming? Pikachu's like, Ash, come on, give me something to do.
Please.
Or is Ash in between battles like grabbing Pikachu? He's like, hey, you're your own guy, you know? I'm coaching you here, but if you see a fucking meteor coming at you...
When they're pumping up a hydro cannon, you have a whole turn to think about it.
Make a goddamn executive decision here, Pikachu.
Like one left swipe here. Yeah. You'll be all right.
We're funny this week.
We are. We're great. Back on this is 6 weeks. This is 6 weeks of us waiting here. We should probably talk about Solo Leveling, because that's like our whole thing.
Speaking of dubs.
Okay.
Solo Leveling.
Getting lots of love on the dub.
Has a good dub.
Very good dub.
Really good dub.
Also has a good sub, though.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, it's hard. Very, very rarely do I notice a bad sub, because I just don't know the language.
Because you just don't speak Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like way the fuck behind on Solo Leveling, because I just haven't been keeping up.
Yeah.
So I was watching it like two nights ago, and I was like, oh... Like, 3 out of the 5 episodes I have to watch are in dub. I'll
might
just
as well
do
watch
that.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just do that. It's like, have you watched any of it?
Yeah. Oh, in dub?
In dub.
I've seen the TikTok, like, edits.
It's like Blue Lock.
I've seen his, how, yeah. How. Like, I've seen that one, yeah.
He's crazy. He's crazy. And it's funny, too, because the episode I started on dub is like... The transition from him being a little bitch to that.
Yeah, it's like episode 5 or something. Yeah.
Like the last episode I watched in sub, he was this dinky little like, oh, I hope I get enough gold coins.
I hope I can run the 10 kilometers. And then it's like, he's like, he runs like one 10 kilometer race and he's like, oh, I'm 6'5 now. Yeah.
He's like, he goes from like Tails the Fox to Sonic the Hedgehog Shadow the Hedgehog instantly. Mm-hmm.
Which means he gets guns.
He gets guns essentially. Like, but, yeah, the dub's great. I was really upset that, like, it's 2 weeks behind because now I'm back on sub. But
I mean, the sub's not bad.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's just, like, dub is easier, and if it's good, then I'd like to watch
that.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am very surprised. I guess I'm not that surprised by it because it's, like, the biggest anime of the season, so you would hope that, like, the English dub would be good. But I think this does, like, bring us towards, like, a kind of, like, a conversational point where it's, like, is English dubbing of at least the biggest projects getting to a point where, like, it's almost indiscernibly quality-wise from subs? Because it's the same thing kind of happening with JJK, where, like, there's like, some voices I kind of hate in JJK's dub. I don't like Yuji's voice, but, like, everyone loves Gojo's voice.
Yeah.
Like, Gojo's voice is, like, it makes people absolutely feral. Everybody loves Sukuna's voice, because Sukuna is voiced by... I forget who, but it's like a really famous voice actor. He just like basically sounds like Bowser. He sounds like he's like sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's kind of this discourse going on now that's more prevalent than ever where it's like sub is very clearly not getting worse, but dub is getting better.
Right, yeah.
And it's happening with the biggest stages. Cause like even like Demon Slayer has an incredible dub.
Does it?
Yeah.
I never watched it. I know people love Inosuke. I don't know how the others
because it's Bryce Papenbrook.
Yeah. They love him.
It's like he's just Kirito, you know?
The only experience I have with the dub, which is not a fair one, is from playing the game. And I remember just being like, man, if I watched this in dub, I would not have cried during Mugen Train.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. The Tanjiro's sub voice actor is just so good, but it's also, I don't know.
There's fair.
There's a part, here's the thing though, with sub, I think I'm more likely to experience the emotions because I don't know what they're saying, mm-hmm. so I just get the emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when Tanjiro's crying, I'm reading the line, so I know what he's saying, but like, in terms of what I'm audibly hearing, it's just sadness.
Yeah. Whereas, you're more focused on like the music, the aura,
yeah.
what's going on screen, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Rather
yeah.
than like how he's actually delivering lines. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. Yeah, but like I think like on the biggest stages, yeah. like, and that's the thing is like, and this is harking back to Akira Toriyama, I've only ever watched Dragon Ball
yeah.
in dub.
Yeah.
And I think that was like, that was truly the beginning of like dub, like as like the biggest projects being dubbed with mm-hmm. like the best voice actors we had to offer yeah. because Goku's sub voice pisses me off.
Yeah,
he's
oh, me
like
too.
This
yeah,
6'5" monster of a man, and he's like, "Coming!" And I'm like, yeah. why is that his voice? And I get that it's like the system of the times, because in the early '90s, like the male leads always had to have high pitched voice, so it was like that, and it was like even like Yu Yu Hakusho. Actually, no, not even Yu Yu Hakusho. In Japanese, it's pretty good. No,
I think it's to capture his like childlike wonder maybe. Or whatever. Because honestly, he has a high American voice.
Not really.
Sean Schimmel is not a deep voiced man, you know what I mean?
I guess, but like it's better than like it's a literal it's woman. Better. It's a literal woman who voices him in Japanese.
Yeah, it's for sure better. It's not like Luffy, who is yeah. also a literal woman in English.
But it fits better on Luffy than it does, because like Luffy yeah. is scrawny, he's small, yeah. you know, and like Goku's this mountain right. of a man. That's his entire character, is that he's a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
And it's like Luffy is like a quirky, silly, funny, like stretchy boy.
Right, but That's what's weird to me about Goku, is he is a father of two.
Yeah.
And like a grown-ass man. And I guess technically 50 years old, because Gohan's like 20.
25, yeah. yeah.
Gohan's like a grown man too. Mm-hmm. So Goku's like 50.
Mm-hmm.
But they write him like he's Luffy.
Yeah.
You know, because he does the big fucking, I eat a big
I do the the comically large mutton stick.
Yeah, he does a mutton stick. He's like, I've never kissed a woman mm-hmm. at age 50.
You have two children.
Yeah, he's like as silly and goofy as Luffy. And so they give him a Luffy-esque voice in Japanese. But he's a grown-ass man. He's, yeah. he's a grandfather.
Yeah.
Look, he's a literal grandfather,
he is
too.
An actual
yeah.
grandfather. He is, like, so Pan.
Yeah.
And...
Just
no,
Pan, right?
Yeah, just Pan. Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah, he's, like, in his 50s, and it's just, like, for me, that separation is, like, I don't know. I need the dubbing mm-hmm. way more. And so, like, there's times where I'm, like, the dub is better. And so, like, yeah. with Soul Leveling, I was, like, watching it this morning. I was, like, do I switch to dub? And then I was, like, I feel like I've seen all the good dub moments on TikTok already. Because everyone's freaking out about it.
It's like, I haven't seen them on TikTok. I don't know. But
my TikTok is like 30% anime edits.
I know. My problem is I've shifted away. Like, my algorithm is just like gaming and musical comedy now.
Gotcha.
For work.
Musical comedy.
Good old musical comedy,
Mr.
baby.
Bo Burnham edits?
Do you know Kyle Gordon?
No.
He's like blown up. He does the DJ Crazy Times.
Oh, I love him.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
He has like a whole album out now.
Yeah.
But, I love musical comedy. But anyway, mm-hmm. for work purposes, I gotta shift back over to anime. Because I'm just like, I keep almost making TikToks. It's like, why is no one talking about this? And
then
everyone's
you're
like
oh,
it's the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, like, everyone's like, we definitely are. You're just too focused on Kyle Gordon's Irish fight song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
my TikTok feed is literally just anime edits. Schizophrenic sponsored posts, and which I send to you, and
yeah,
you never respond to ever.
We talk, you know, yeah,
we did. There was the one thing, Aeon time, Aeon magic. The
Who
two, the, it's like the blonde woman and like her masked like drummer, and it's just her like lusting after
yeah,
him. And it's
yeah,
terrible
yeah.
music, fantastic watches.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it's pretty much actually just that anime edits. Like the occasional update on Ukraine, and then just schizophrenic sponsor posts that are usually just horrible music.
Yeah.
Like people just paying like $20 to sponsor their music to get it out, and it's just me sending it to friends being like, this is the worst fucking thing I've ever heard. But they're like, wow, look how many saves this has.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. We used to send each other Ant game ads too.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that.
As low as it gets. As low as content could possibly get, we'll set it together.
Shit,
I fucking live for it. I do want to talk about Soul Leveling, though,
yeah,
outside
sure.
of the dove.
Can I open this goddamn window? Get
a little hot?
Yeah, so hot.
But I do want to talk about it. They're going crazy in Soul Leveling with the added context.
Yeah.
There's so much added context, but there's also things they're skipping, which is weird.
Interesting.
So, like, they're adding so much context in the manhwa that the manhwa doesn't have, and it's all about the S ranks, which I find interesting because the S ranks don't really play a role in the story for, like, what's ostensibly going to be at least season two.
Right.
Like, we're on episode, what, 9 now? Yeah. And we literally just got to the Tang Day Sick, or I think his name was, like, Tang Day Sick or something. The B-ranked assassin.
Right,
the
guy
who, like, gives him the guy who gives him stealth, essentially. And that happens in, like, I think book 3. Maybe book 2. We're not ripping through the story. And I'm not like, oh, this needs to be going faster, like the pacing isn't good or anything like that. But we're adding so much content. We're cutting away to Hei Chaein. We're cutting away to the Guildmaster. We're cutting away to the president of the Hunters Association. All these different people that we're checking in with that we just do not get check-ins with in the manhwa. And I have to ask the question, pacing wise, do you think that the show is heading at a good pace? Because I have an opinion about it, and I'm curious about what yours is.
I think it is moving at a good pace, and I don't. Every time it cuts away, I'm assuming from what we've talked about before that those are new additions.
Yeah.
Like every time it's not with what's his name, Sunwoo.
Sunwoo.
Yeah. Every time it's not with him, I've just been assuming that that's added material.
Kind of. Yeah.
And I think it works to just make the world feel like a world.
More lived in, yeah.
Yeah, if it was just...
not just like a singular POV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If we just followed him, the world would feel so small. Because every other expansive world anime does it. Like My Hero, you're always checking in with professors. And Naruto is the same anime, so deal. But
is the same anime as what, MHA?
It's My Hero, yeah. Because I was about to be
love to hear you unpack that.
Well, because My Hero, you're always checking in with professors. And I was going to be and Naruto, you're always checking in with professors.
It's fair, yeah. You're checking with Kakashi and Obito and fucking everybody else, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It makes the world feel more lived in. It feels bigger. I think it's paced well. It's paced. The only issues with pacing are issues I have with every single video game anime I've seen, where it's just a lot of stopping. It's a lot of
explaining the system,
explaining video game terms, or he gets beat up and then he uses a goddamn full restore.
Yeah.
And then it's oh cool. So the last 5 minutes were just
for nothing
filler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just because the thing is he gets a full restore every single time he does a daily mission. So he's got at any given point, dozens just loaded up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just anytime he gets fatigued, runs out of mana, runs out of health, he can just be full recovery. Yeah. And in the early parts of the story, not really, because he hasn't had the system for that long, but he's in the hospital for 5 days. So he's got five full recoveries just stacked in his back pocket. So at any given point when he's battling against Cerberus or anything like that, he's not really all that up against it.
Right. Yeah. Which do you want to talk about your deal with the pacing before I transition?
My general question was just because there is so much, like I said, we're checking in with Chaein, Chaein. I'm so bad at Korean names. Just all these.
You can honestly just say sounds, and I just nod and smile because I don't remember the names.
The blonde lady, and then there's the ex-firefighter, with the red hair, the S rank, and then there's the old guy who's the leader of the Hunter Association. Most of the times that we're checking in with any of them are not in the manhwa. Jeju Island, Jeju Island is talked about, also not in the manhwa. At least for a long time. The idea of Jeju Island is loosely introduced in the first couple of books, and then it's not fully fleshed out until much, much later in the story. So anytime that we're in, it's very curious to me because it does play a deeper role later in the story, but it's curious to me that we're trying to build it up so early.
Yeah.
And it's almost they're trying to do an Oda thing where they're oh, look at how early these seeds were planted.
Right, right.
And it's okay, but I know it's coming. I know, and we're building towards the same plot line here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know, I feel as though it takes a little bit of the intensity out of the dungeons, out of the portals, because usually in the manhwa, the second that Sungwoo goes into a portal, you are singularly focused
on him for the
entire thing.
Yeah, interesting.
And so it's there's a sense of urgency. He's battling against goblins. He's battling against the steel fanged lichens. Yeah. You're with him. And then it's I'm afraid that when we get into the later stages here, when the actual circumstances get much higher and it's oh, we're fighting for the entire world now and all these kinds of things. If we take a step away, it's going to be all right, I didn't need to check in
yeah.
over here. Like, I'm not curious about what the S ranks are doing over here. Yeah. You know,
it's like a Baldur's Gate like companion with a little exclamation mark over their head. Like,
yeah.
Fucking eat my shoes later, Gale.
Yeah. Which magic do you need from me, you fucking nerd? Yeah. So like, that's my thing is like, I don't mind right now where I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like
stakes are low.
The stakes are low. Like he's battling against Tang Daysick or whatever his name is. And, like, that's fine. Like, you know he's going to win. And, like, I mean, that's this entire thing. You always know he's going to win. Yeah. He's always going to get stronger. He's going to level up. It's solo leveling.
Right.
But for the moment, I'm just, like, apprehensive about what this means for the future. And I'm like, maybe when we get to the things that we're building up towards, it's going to stop and we're just going to adapt to the manhwa.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, the S ranks do become more involved in the story. It's right. just we're not at that part yet.
I do see your, like, beef with, like, I get why it could be cool. Like, he's trapped in the dungeon, so we should be too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool that he can't escape, and so we also can't check in with other people in the manhwa.
Yeah.
So that's a cool theme, I think. But, like, I also like... I like them planting seeds, because, like I said before, it makes me feel like whoever's adapting this, like, gives a shit about solo leveling, where they're like, all right, how can we make the story feel more impactful to people who haven't read the manhwa, where it's like, when these seeds pay off, it's like, oh shit, like, this is the dude from episode one, and now he's this big whatever thing, like,
fair, yeah.
rather than it just, like, popping up as if he's, like, making it up on the spot.
Because it really is in the manhwa, it's just, like, a solo shot on Sunwoo the entire time.
Right.
And then it's, like, things pop up along his journey, and then it's like, oh, yeah, this is the guy who, you like, we loosely mentioned three books ago, you know? Right. It's like...
I feel like it'd be cool, or, like, the issue that could arise with that is that it feels like it's just, like, all right, Sun Wong does this, and then he does this, where it's, like, it feels like the writer has nothing planned and is just, like, making it up chapter by chapter.
Kind of, yeah.
Whereas if it's all set up before, then it's like, it does feel like this established world with people living in it, and then they just start to connect.
They've done a much better job, like, illustrating what the guilds are. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they talked about the Reaper Guild and the Knights Guild and it's like the White Tiger Guild and all these other guilds. And it's like, usually that we only ever get that perspective through his friend, like the rich, like, Chaebol friend.
Yeah.
And so, like, we don't usually get that perspective unless it's, like, him talking about how he's going to become a guildmaster, or until much later in the story when the guildmasters actually become central to the story.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, it is making the world feel much more lived in. I'm just, like, apprehensive for, like, it kind of being, like, One Piece at a certain point where it's like, oh, Luffy's fighting against Doflamingo. I wonder what fucking Sanji's up to.
Right,
and you're like,
right.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And we've been on this for three episodes, but, like, there's not as much to adapt as One Piece, obviously, and the story's already fucking over. So I don't think we're ever going to run into pacing issues. I'm just, I guess, just, like, apprehensive about that possibly happening down the line.
No, for sure. I feel that.
Outside of that, was going to say, I don't remember, so you haven't read this, but I don't think in the manhwa he gets his fucking shit tossed by Cerberus that hard.
Really?
I vaguely remember, and it's been a while since I've read the manhwa, like 3 or so months. I think I remember him, like, opening the key, and then it's, like, Cerberus fight time, and then it's, like, you cut to him, like, he, like, defeats Cerberus, and he's got, like, 1 HP left, and he was like, that sucked.
Right, yeah, right.
But then, I do remember him taking the potion, like, the snake poison, so, like, I just don't think the fight was that long. I think they kind of, like, maharaga'd it, where they were like, Cerberus is gonna fucking throw mitts here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with the dog episode and the snake episode, where it's, like, this show is taking fights that could and should be, like, nothing quick-ass fights and executing them in the coolest possible way.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the dog fight was, like, needlessly sick when it happened. I mean, yeah, I can't really... I don't know what it was like in the manhwa, but the Cerberus fight was dope.
How are you feeling about the animation?
Good. Really pretty good.
It's,
like,
okay. It's really good, right?
Yeah.
I think I've been ruined.
By JJK.
I think I've been... I'm watching it and I'm like, it's not really hitting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. Because, like, it was just... It was so... And it's so funny because I was openly critical about it when I was watching JJK. Where I was like, oh, there's no detail. There's no... Like, everything feels so scrambled. It feels so hectic. And now I'm watching this and I'm like, There's too much fucking detail. I'm like, fucking, I want to see somebody turn into lines. Yeah, like, you know, I can still tell that Sung-woo.
Yeah, where the fuck are the cubes?
Where are the cubes? Yeah. I want to see Maharaga, like, bend as he gets thrown through a fucking building.
Turn into a little doughboy, yeah.
Yeah, I think I can tell what's going on.
Yeah, I think part of it is that the fights are kind of nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, again, they're well executed,
yes.
But he's fighting dogs, fighting a big, like, snake. He's fighting an assassin, like, fucking throwaway character that you know isn't going to be anything. And so it's not like... Like, JJK was very well animated, but also it's, like, gods fighting gods.
Yeah.
So it's, like... And also it was season two, so we, like, knew all the characters. People were dying. There were more stakes.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, like, literally, if it was a video game... He hasn't even gotten to, like, a real boss yet.
No, he
like,
really hasn't.
They're all mini bosses.
Like, I'd say the realest boss he's gotten to is Cerberus, or I think his name. I'm going to call him Taysik. And the Taysik fight was really good. I thought, like, in the beginning, they were kind of doing the thing where, like, their two bodies, like, stand there, and then there's a bunch of, like, slashes that you just see. And I was like, I literally wrote down, I was like, ooh, animation was a little lazy in the beginning. And literally, as I'm typing that, the animation just took a crazy step up.
Yeah.
And it was like him, like, Taysik activates stealth, and it was like him deflecting things. And I was like, that looked really good.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really enjoying it, but I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, fucking JJK, man.
Yeah.
Fucking JJK just ruined me.
I think it looks pretty fucking great. My, like, big main note and what I suggest, or what I suggested for this title, the episode to be titled, is solo leveling is finally good.
Yeah.
Because episode 7, which we haven't talked about yet, when he fucking becomes unhinged and kills all those guys, gets his first kills, really fucking cool.
It was sick.
When he, like, there's a dude, like, up in his face, and he's like, what are you gonna do about it? And he just, like, the knife is under the guy's chin, and everyone's like, how'd you do that?
When did
and
he
then
pull
just
that
takes
blade?
His head out.
Yeah, it's like, one down.
Really cool, and great in dub. Like, that's another one where he's just, like, growling. I have a line. What was it? When he, the dub actor... is doing such a fucking, like, American Psycho impression. Because when he gets...
But so is the sub. The sub is also, like, a low growl.
Yeah.
It's
also
like he's, like, one down. Like, it's like he's, like, he's literally just whispering, but, like, menacingly.
Well, when he gets... He unlocks a new skill, and he goes, I just unlocked murderous intent. Cuts my enemy's abilities by 50% for a minute. My God. It even has a 30-second cooldown timer.
Now let's see Tong Daysik's ability.
But it's like, it was so cool. And the thing about solo leveling, because it was running into these issues that I have with other video game anime where it's like, oh, you know, he gets his Achilles tendon cut and he's all fucked up, but oh, for a story, pops a rare candy or whatever.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, fuck this. This is dumb. Like, I hate that shit because it just makes the fight meaningless.
Yeah.
The way this is getting around it and the reason I'm finally on board with solo leveling fully is because it's almost like One Punch Man, where the fights aren't the point. The point is that he's losing his humanity.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
I love that, like, when he does the full restore and cuts that dude's abilities in half, it gets really scary. He gets, like, it does, like, the negative vision, and he's all fucked up about it, and the music's going crazy, and he's, like, toying with him and fucking him up. I like when he uses his skill. He's like, there's another emotion gone.
Yeah. So, and he's like, I don't even need to be angry to kill you scumbags anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the, like, that's the way solo leveling gets around the, like, fact that he's, like, an OP Mary Sue kind of-ish deal, is that, like, it's taking away his humanity. And I hope they continue to do that, and I hope it's, like, an anti-redemption arc, where he just gets worse and worse as a person.
Kind of. I mean, it's definitely, like, losing his humanity is definitely a theme that runs throughout all of Solo Leveling. I don't know if it's about him getting worse as a person, but it's definitely about him, like, adapting either beyond or without humanity.
Yeah.
So, like, that will definitely be something that you continually see.
That's cool. That's, like, similar to JJK for me, where it's, like, I like that we are now seeing this trend, and Blue Lock is like this a little, where we're seeing a trend of, like, happy-go-lucky, headstrong protagonist getting fucking disillusioned into oblivion, yeah. You know, like Blue Lock's like that, where it's like everyone comes in with like a high Q attitude and quickly learns that that's not going to win.
Dude,
you
just like
Lock.
Everyone's like, oh, this is the miracle child. Then he gets smoked in the fucking face.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone just kicks him in the head. Yeah, and he's and like, that's not soccer.
And you're like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I need steak tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to hear what they did skip?
Well, they skip.
They, so you know, the convicts that like the assassin kills, mm-hmm. there's like three of them, right? He doesn't actually kill all of them. Though there's one, the one with long hair, he doesn't kill. And so he like cuts his throat so he can't talk.
Is this, this is a spoiler?
No, I think they skipped it.
Or is it gonna pop up?
They're already out of the dungeon.
That's, I guess so. Oh, then yeah, the dude's just swallowed by the dungeon, I guess.
Well, so that's the thing. So in the manhwa, it's like, oh, he gets his throat slit and he can't talk.
Yeah.
So, and I think they did this like preserve Jinwoo's like character a little bit because it's a dark fucking moment. But Jinwoo like picks this guy up and is like, you're coming into the boss room with me. And he's like, go see if you can beat the bosses. And it's a hobgoblin, an entire fucking room of goblins. And they just stab this dude to death.
Wow.
They just like fuck this guy up. They like mangle him because he's like a rapist, right?
Yeah.
So it's like Sungwoo like being like, oh, like you can see.
Oh, he uses, don't rape.
Oh, you know, put your pee-pee where you're not supposed to. Very hard stance from Korea. Wow. Good job, guys.
If that was Berserk, the goblins would have raped the.
Oh, they would have. They would have been airtight.
Yeah,
all three holes, baby.
Yeah.
They would have. He would have been spit roasted. But so he gets thrown in there, and like the goblins like kill him, and then like Sungwoo's like, cool, now I can go in there, and then he kills all the goblins after they've murdered the shit out of this guy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and they skipped that.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
Wish they had that because that's on track with my like, oh, he's becoming a crazy person,
and like maybe. I don't like, but they're out of the dungeon already.
Yeah,
and it's already shut down. And I don't think they explain that retroactively.
No.
So I think they just like actively skipped it.
Yeah, it's just gone. I mean, yeah. Look, now that I know what it is, there's no way that dude's like coming back.
Yeah,
like yeah, they did skip it. It seems like.
But why would they do that?
I guess just because it's pretty fucking dark.
It's dark.
I guess.
But like him decapitating people that are trying to kill him isn't dark. Like he just
that's
like
not as dark.
Him throwing a convicted rapist who's lowering his sentence into a room of hobgoblins is not the darkest thing that happens in this series.
People are more cool with. I mean, some people don't care. Like I wouldn't care. But like people are more cool with killing in self-defense than killing a bad person who's defenseless. But no, people, and Seraph is confirming right now, mm-hmm. or Seraph agrees,
okay,
that people are more cool with like killing in self-defense, even if it's a stomp. Because really, if you think about it, if you're OP, if you're not going to die, is it really self-defense?
Nope.
He could have just taken all their swords away.
Yeah.
But people are more cool with killing in self-defense than like having the bad guy with no weapons and be like, what are you going to do, pussy? And then like sliding the knife into his neck. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, well, he doesn't cut his neck.
But I'm saying like, but he feeds him to goblins.
But he doesn't cut his neck.
I'm saying it's like, there's so many scenes in movies where like the protagonist will beat the villain into an inch of his life. But then when it's time to kill the villain, they'll be like, you're not worth it. And it's like, that's what the cool guys do.
That's fucking, that's my hero.
Yeah. And no. I fucking hate that.
I hate it as well.
I got into like such heat when watching Full Metal Alchemist. Because mm-hmm. there's a scene where, and don't come at me again. I get it. I've heard all the arguments.
Gotcha.
But there's a scene where Envy is this gross little goop.
Yeah.
He's this gross little slug, and Mustang's like, let me at him, and he's about to kill him. And everyone's like, no, Mustang, you can't do it. We gotta, you know, you gotta be the good guy. And he's like, what?
He turned into Mace Hughes' wife and stabbed him.
And Mustang's like, please, I just want to kill him. And everyone else, I guess the beef is that they're like, Mustang can't kill him. Like, they're like, we'll kill him. He'll die.
Oh, trust me.
But you can't do it because you'll
lose your humanity.
Yeah. And I'm like, fucking give Mustang take Hawkeye's gun from her fucking life.
He's like, all right, I'm cool. I'm so,
everyone was mad at me because I'm sitting there like to an audience that can't respond being like, fuck it, Mustang, kill everyone in this room. Yeah. Like, they're being annoying.
Yeah, you're like, take every witness down with you. That's my whole thing with Batman. He's like, oh, if I kill, I'll go to the dark side. It's like, hey, man, Fucking Joker deserves it. Like, yeah. can we expedite this process here?
Everyone Joker kills, Batman has technically killed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's like, blood fully on his hands.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you probably kill less people if you start killing some
or
people.
Use all your money, make a goddamn prison that won't let him out.
Or, you know, just like some infrastructure changes, yeah. like some social projects.
Yeah.
You know, let's just pump a little money into the city that we're defending with our fucking bare fists.
At least send him to like a Siberian prison or something. Like, make Joker the snail, the Terminator snail. You know what I mean?
The Terminator snail.
You know, the snail that's like, what would you do if there was a snail? Have you not heard this?
That's following
that's
you.
That's following
what
you.
What does that have to do with Terminator?
It'll kill you eventually.
What is that? What?
It's a Terminator.
Why Terminator?
It's a Terminator. It can't be killed.
It's the deadly snail. I just don't know why you would. Oh.
What?
Thank you, Mrs. Mufflehood. Waffle blood.
Mrs. Wolf's blood.
Mrs. Wolf's blood for the
God. Yeah, your eyes are.
It's far away.
That's what happens when you wear fake glasses every day.
This does on off doesn't do anything. These are just pieces of plastic. They're for blue light, Danny. You know that. No. Thank you for the Viking. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Anyways.
Yeah. Back to money.
Money.
Back to stocks. I had someone reach out and we'll like they're fans of the podcast.
Okay.
But it was mildly funny to me, and I should respond rather than just talking about them on the podcast.
No, fucking shit on these losers.
They emailed me and they were like, "Hey, I run a financial podcast and I'd love to have you on in some capacity." I'm probably not going to do that just because I have nothing to say about stocks.
Oh, I just...
But the idea that's so funny to me.
I would love to go on a podcast where I just like pretend I know what I'm talking about. Just like, oh yeah, man. Apple, big going ups. I got the...
Apple, they're done. They're done. Pull out of Apple.
Tim Cook is cooked, ladies and gentlemen. Sell your Apple stock.
I'm telling you right now, CVS is where you want your money.
Listen, you know how long their receipts are? That's because they got that paper train, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You can go on. They love the podcast.
I don't.
I should reply to that email.
I
just thought.
I just do the smog. My financial plan is hold. Yeah. Hold much.
Yeah. How dare you take my analogy?
I
tell everyone I'm Smaug.
And I'll be fucking Frodo Baggins.
Yeah.
And I'll steal your gold.
You will.
Yeah. What was the last time I paid you for this podcast, actually?
I was thinking about
that. It's been a while, actually.
I was like, I should text Nick, but he's on vacation.
You're the one. Listen, we established this.
Yeah.
You reach out to me. You tell me, Nick, I need this amount of money. I do the boopity boop.
And you say eventually.
And then I never say eventually. Don't you paint me as this man holding on to your money against your will. You text me a number, I send you a number.
You know what the best part is?
What?
I could weave that web. I could weave that yarn of be like, Nick, I ask you every month and you don't pay me. And who you think they'll believe, Nick?
Me!
Who you think they'll believe?
Me.
No, they won't.
Why do you think I'm in charge of the finances?
As we're in your throne of expensive anime statues.
Which means
as you wear
I don't
your...
need your cut of the fucking podcast money, Danny.
As you wear your $1,000 sweater vest.
This was a very, well, was it cheap, but it's not $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I probably spent $30,000 on this trip.
What do you mean? You're wearing a New Balance... Oh, hold on.
I didn't buy this trip. This is from last trip.
Oh, on the trip. I thought you said on this trip.
No, what are you wearing?
You're wearing sweatpants and a sweater vest.
I feel like I could get together a $30,000 outfit, actually.
But Dorothy could.
Oh, for sure.
Every time I walk in, you got Dior bags everywhere.
Actually, I don't know if I could.
I don't know if I could find 30 grand in clothing anywhere. That seems like too much for clothes.
How many watches do I get to wear?
Two.
Two?
Max.
Fuck.
That's, you know what though, like 20 grand in watches I've heard of.
I could put like, here's the thing, any outfit that I'm putting together is like an absorbent amount of money is like 18K in jewelry.
What's the most expensive outfit you could put on from your closet?
From my closet?
Yeah.
I have a $3,000.
But a reasonable amount of jewelry. You can't just stack up to the elbow and bracelets.
I just bought a $5,000 jacket in Paris. Let me walk you through it, all right? I have a $7,000 watch.
Hey, anyone struggling financially right now, you now have Nick's hometown.
You're the one who's asking me, all right?
Joking. I'm making a joke about how I doxed you accidentally.
Yeah, anyway. You're right. Yeah. Come on through.
Come on down to good old Nick's.
Dorothy bought me a Breitling watch. That was $7,000. I bought myself a Bulgari ring. That was $5,000. I have a $1,500 ring. I think those are all like my actually expensive rings. A couple, I have like $300-$400
rings. Your finger is now worth like $3,000 if you count the medical expense. It's going to take to take it off. Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen, if somebody wants it, listen, if you want to come chop these fingers, come wild.
No, the black one.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you count the medical bill, that's going to need.
That's going to grow out. It's fine. Yeah. It's a whole thing. I bought an Alexander McQueen jacket in Paris. That was $5,000. I have a Gucci t-shirt. That was $1,000. Like wearing that feasibly. A most expensive pants. I have like, oh, I have Gucci pants.
Of course.
Those are $1,000.
Right.
Most expensive shoes.
Yeah.
I have Louis Vuitton loafers. Those are $1,000. I don't have expensive socks. But the loafers. I wouldn't wear socks with loafers anyways. I'm not a fucking scrub.
You don't have any like Polo Bear socks?
What the fuck is a Polo Bear sock?
Oh, wow. That hurts my feelings.
The most
expensive article of clothing I own is
from fucking Polo.
It's a beanie that Sarah got me with a Polo Bear on it. It's like $80.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I could put together, I'd say $20,000. I could put together a
$20,000. God, that's crazy.
I like nice things.
I know. It just sucks. I posted that outfit. I posted a thirst trap on Instagram. Okay.
Thank God we're around to it.
I posted a thirst trap.
Gay!
Easy. We'll get to why I'm gay.
It's the penises mostly.
It's the dick in my ass right now. Yeah. I posted a thirst trap on Instagram because I bought, for the first time in my life, I bought an outfit.
Yeah.
Rather than just like,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
I usually go to the store and I just buy a shirt. Like buy a pant.
One leg.
Yeah.
I buy a
pant. They say, sir, you gotta buy both. And I go, please. I only have 3 schmeckles. I only have 3 seashells to my name. I heard you barter in seashells. Oh, Nick threw up. That was so gross.
You made me jump.
But you didn't even do a spit take. You threw it up.
That was Nick's gargle take.
Nick went, what? It came out like a frog jumping out of your mouth. Ooh,
I just love the word schmeckles.
People wonder why we don't have more women on the podcast.
People loved the Stella episode.
People
all
did
right?
love Stella. She was great.
Oh God.
But I only have three schmeckles.
Sir, did you rip the pants into half? You have to pay for that.
Yeah, you have to buy it regardless. I go, no! Sarah, do you have schmeckles?
Sarah, she's... My girlfriend's looking! Please.
I'm just like shaking her purse.
Please,
Sarah. A bunch of dollars with my face printed on them are fall out. Like, do take Danny!
It's a gay dollars, please!
All right, here's why I'm gay. Take gay bucks. Take dickies.
Only valid on Fire Island.
I'm gay because...
Pause. Yeah, fucking clip it.
That's the edit.
Yep.
I'm gay because I made the mistake of being in the front row of a stand-up comedy show. So I put together this outfit. It connects.
Yes.
Put together this outfit. I look like a Backstreet Boy, kind of.
You do. It was full white.
It's full white, but it's like a beachy outfit.
It was nice.
It's an off-white shirt with like a... it was all cotton on. But it was like a
nice,
like, I don't know, like crochet looking over shirt and then white pants.
It was white family Christmas photo on a beach aesthetic. But yeah,
it was a nice.
I know you're going to say all these white families taking white sweater photos on beaches aren't dressed nice. Please. We'll lose our entire Christian demographic right now. I swear to God, we'll do it.
But it was what I thought was a nice outfit. And then I got a haircut that day and I was like, same one I got right now. And I was like, I feel handsome. I'm going to post this picture. And I felt good because every people complimented me on it. And I was like, nice. I want to go build more outfits at some point and post more feel good pictures. That night we go to stand up comedy and it's like, 5 mystery comics. You don't know who they are. It's like, that's the gimmick.
Grab bag.
Yeah, it's a grab bag. It's literally a mystery box
it's
of
Louis
comics.
Louis C.K. His pants are off. That's the real surprise.
Yeah, it's every canceled comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
And then hosted by John Mulaney. Yeah, it's like a balancer.
Absolutely.
But the gimmick is you don't know who's coming, but it could be an A-lister. Like, Bo Burnham's done it before. Taylor Tomlinson has done it. She's sure. funny.
Those are names I know.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Oh, and I do know
who blonde,
that is.
She's blonde, very cute, very funny. I should have said funny before cute, but that's just sexism, baby.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Listen, hey, you're a gay man. So you're free.
Here's
and clear.
Why I'm gay. Mm-hmm. So I made the mistake of sitting in the front row because I was like, I love stand-up comedy, Sarah. This will be fun. And the comic, one of them was like, you know, Gen Z, it's so great. What's great about Gen Z is that, like, they're all gay, you know, all of them. Like, you, sir, what year were you born? He pointed to a guy, and the guy was like, you know, whatever. And he's like, Gen Z? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, gay? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, see, they're gay. And everyone cheers. And he's like, what about you? What, millennial or Gen Z? And I was like, yeah, Gen Z. And he's like, gay? And I was like, not gay. And he's like, what? What do you mean not gay? And I was like sitting there and I'm like, please don't make fun of the outfit. Please. Please. I'm so excited about this outfit. And I'm like, and Sarah's like cracking up next to me. And he was like, what year were you born? And I was like, 99. And he's like, 99? You're gay, little buddy. Come on. And then he decides.
At little buddy, I'm charging the fucking stage.
He goes, come on, you're gay, little buddy. And he's like, with that haircut, you're telling me you're not gay? And then does 3 minutes of stand-up attacking my haircut.
Everyone's like, gay, gay, gay.
And then through
kiss a boy. Kiss a boy. And Sarah's just like, kiss a boy.
I like turn to Sarah and I'm like, you have to kiss me. And she's like, no.
She's like, I don't know this man.
And then every time he referenced the bit, he'd be like, yeah, you know, like, it's so great that, like, Gen Z is, like, out and proud, except this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm just want it to look nice today. There's nothing wrong with being gay. Cute. I'm just not.
Yeah, the Macy's catalog looked like me a little bit, and I thought I was gonna be cute.
Yeah, so that's why Nick is calling me gay.
So funny. Because, you know, he was scanning through the crowd. He knew that joke was coming up.
Yeah.
Like, 5 minutes before, he's like, all right, gay... Yeah. Gay and young, gay. And he was like, those are the people I'm going to point at.
Yeah, one guy who looked like a background dancer in my shiny teeth and me. Like,
yeah, and you were just like, you were number two on the list of gay and young. And you couldn't even get to his third option.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you were blinding him with your R. Kelly music video dazzling.
Well, it's not an R. Kelly music video. It'd be Yellow.
Yeah, because the piss.
Topical.
Because the, not really.
Bad guy.
That was like 12 years ago. Yeah. All right. Yes. That's fucking hilarious.
Thanks.
It's fantastic, and it's why I don't go to comedy shows.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I liked it. That guy was really... That's the worst part, is he was really funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You got alpha'd.
Because at least, if he wasn't funny, I could at least be like, it's my job to be funnier than you, and I do it.
You know what you should have done? She'd be like, no, everyone Instagram liked it.
Yeah, I stand up, and I'm just like, I have 350,000 subscribers.
Yeah, this is my mom. She said I looked handsome.
Yeah. I have ridden the Shai Hulud.
You should have shown him your thirst trap edit.
Yeah.
That would have fucking gone.
Yeah, look at all these men that say I'm handsome.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that might have been pitching our correct idea there. But yeah, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for coming out the other side of that.
Thanks.
You did fantastic. Cool. Should we talk about our flashback?
Yeah.
Like our news.
Yeah.
You want to talk our news?
Sure.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah?
Megan the Horse did a cosplay of Gojo. Did you see that?
Who the fuck is Megan the Horse?
Megan the Horse. She's this horse.
The Stallion. You motherfucker. Yes, yeah, she did a Gojo thing. She hosted the anime awards.
Yeah. I love Megan the Stallion so much.
I would.
Let me tell you. What would you do? It's an audio medium.
I would just do a little.
Nick would be a cowboy.
You know, you do. Yeah, guys, you chat. You ever just.
Doing a ride, I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, because wow, I'm not listening. I'm willing to admit, I'm not enough man for Megan Thee Stallion.
For sure.
I don't think I could hit it from behind. Genuinely.
For sure. No, I like would never even like go up to her and be like, "Hi, I'm a fan."
What I'm saying is, Danny, I don't think I have enough penis.
No,
to hit it from behind.
Penetrate. I don't think.
I have. There's a fair to average amount down there. Yeah. I don't think I have enough.
Dude, you know what? Like, agreed. Same.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? It's every time I've recently come around to being a giant Megan Thee Stallion fan.
Yeah.
Never heard a single one of her songs.
Oh, you knew her hiss?
I didn't even know she makes
music. She fucking buried Nicki Minaj. Like, well, it was actually a long time ago. Her. She buried Nicki Minaj.
What do you mean? Like, just a better song?
No, it was like a diss song.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because Nicki Minaj is married to a sexual, what is the word I'm looking for here? they're gonna knock on people's doors and they're like, the kids, I love them. Not a pedophile.
But sexual offender.
There's another. Is that it?
Yeah, sex offender.
Sex offender. There we go. Yeah.
Nicki Minaj
is married to a sex offender, and so is her brother.
Hold on. Before I say this crazy statement, who am I thinking of? Cardi B. Never mind. Cardi B.
What about her?
Is allegedly
married to a sex offender?
Rapist, I think.
Cardi B.
I shouldn't say any of this. My God. Cardi B, I believe, she would like said stuff about how she used to be like a hooker and she would like.
I think I've heard this.
And she'd like drug the men and rob them. And everyone's
that's not rape.
And I thought rape.
That's larceny.
Well, that's not larson.
That's absolutely larson.
Oh, maybe it is. You're thinking arson.
Hey. And then she would light them on fire.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus commits arson.
And now we've broken down every woman known to man.
Anyway, next week, I'll come in with the actual details of this. I'm not going to look it up now. But
good. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Just fucking news. Pedal news with no backing whatsoever.
As long as I say I'm 30% sure. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure Cardi B, like, drugged and robbed men, and she's like, that's what you gotta do to survive, baby.
Gotta hustle, baby.
And I'm like, no.
Listen, I'll give that snaps. Hell yeah.
Anyway, recently I came around on Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Because I kept, like, my Instagram suggested wall is, like, all half-naked women because all of the creators.
The people we follow.
Because all the people we follow, which it sucks. It's half-naked women.
Oh, those and, like, boobies. Oh, no. Whatever will I do?
It sucks because I can't whip out Instagram in public.
And whip something else out of you, know what I mean?
I whip out my dick sooner than
Instagram.
Me and Dorothy
have actually literally had this conversation yesterday. We have a friend that we follow. I'm not going to say names. Okay. But just, like, full tits
you
out.
Still follow?
Yeah, oh, and we both fall. She was scrolling Instagram.
Oh, her.
So she went through the same thing that I go through where I'm like, yeah, this is what happens when, like, you just associate with a bunch of hot women who do content in LA.
Yeah.
And it's like, wonder what the content's going to be. Yeah. And it's like, titties. That's what it's going to be.
But I kept, on the Instagram Discover page, I kept running across this, like, gorgeous, absolutely stunning woman. And I'd, like, be like, oh, man, look at this. Look at this, like, hot cosplayer. Who is this? And I'd be like, oh, is this someone like Daniel follows or you? Like, is that why they're being suggested? And I click on, I'm like, oh, it's fucking Megan Thee Stallion again.
I keep getting here.
And eventually, like, by the time the Gojo one came out, I'm like, all right, I'm in love with Megan Thee Stallion.
Nice.
It's just, you know, I'll admit it.
Would you have her on the show?
No chance. Would you? I'm not saying,
oh, could we? If Megan Thee Stallion's like, yeah, I want to come talk about anime. Would you?
You know what? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
I'd be afraid.
Here's the thing. If you're like, would I have Sydney Sweeney on the show? No, because she doesn't give a shit about anime.
Well, obviously.
That's why, that was like my, the thing about Michaela, when we had Michaela on, the most nerve-wracking thing to me was not knowing if we'd have enough material. Because she isn't that into anime.
Yeah.
But having like Stella on, who was also a very gorgeous woman, was such a breeze.
Yeah.
And having, like...
Well, because she's a degenerate.
Well, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion's into anime and shit.
Oh, I know. But, like...
That helps.
I'm scared.
You scared?
I'm scared.
You scared? I think she's so attractive, I wouldn't even be scared.
Danny, here's the thing. I find power sexy, and she's, like, the most powerful woman. I would just sit here and fucking stutter.
I think I'd just be like, there's no stakes. What's the best?
No,
the best case scenario is she remembers my name vaguely. She remembers that my name is like Danny Shada, and that's the best case scenario.
Yeah. You're modest Dada. Yeah, and nice to see you on the red carpet here. Because all of our friends got to go to the Oscars.
I wouldn't even be nervous. It'd be the same as like if we had like, I don't know, like
what
Ryan
if you put us
Gosling
in one of our songs?
On?
What if we got hissed, Danny? What if she was like two white boys don't know shit about anime? And we just get fucking, and it's way worse than getting flamed in a fucking comedy.
It's like a 6-minute diss track.
Yeah, it's just like way longer than Nicki Minaj got. Everyone's like, who the fuck is she talking about? It'd be awful. We get fucking buried, Daniel.
Dude, we're just like,
you know what?
The people who
fucking DM Megan Thee Stallion. See if she wants to be on the show. She literally hosted the Anime Awards. And you know what? Danny did some research and we found some things out about Anime Awards
in
Crunchyroll. Me and Danny found out we're actually the third biggest anime podcast.
Yeah.
Only under the fucking Crunchyroll apparently as a podcast.
Yeah. It goes Trash Taste, number one anime podcast, Crunchyroll podcast, us, Bluey's podcast.
Which
leads me to believe we are not only the third biggest, we are the third.
Like, it's
podcast.
Just, that's, like, right.
There's only three that's anime just, podcasts. That
fucking, god damn it. Being like Trash Taste, Crunchyroll, us is
sick.
Fucking awesome.
Don't but look at the rest of the
when you
list.
Follow it up with the caveat that the fourth biggest category anime podcast is the fucking Bluey podcast, It makes us look worse.
Yeah. Can I look up how many people listen to the Bluey podcast?
I'm sure,
that information available?
If you like on like Spotify or like YouTube?
I don't know.
Also, how are they still coming out with Bluey?
They are.
They're still doing Bluey?
Oh, that's also my news.
What?
Let me see. Bluey, there are two characters in Bluey. Also, anytime I ever do news, everyone take it at most 80% value. Because I never have all the facts.
Bluey is a cuck.
I'm not sure where Danny found this article. It's completely fake. But it is pretty funny, so we're going to keep it in.
Someone in Bluey is a cuck. The parents in Bluey, cuck. Canonically. Because...
What do you... They
here's
both
the
cuck?
News. I don't know. Whatever the term is.
What?
Someone's a cuck in that relationship.
Okay, sure.
Who's the cuck? If you and Dorothy are hiring a third man, if me, you, and Dorothy are in a relationship, cucking relationship, you and Dorothy are
I
in
think
the...
I you do a cucking. It's more of a...
Hold on. Shut
okay.
up.
Okay.
You and Dorothy...
Yes, Dad.
Fuck.
Okay.
Confirmed or not?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, occasionally.
And you're in the relationship, and you're like, hey, I want Danny to come and... End of sentence, honestly.
Yeah.
I want Danny to come...
It seems backed up, yeah.
I want Danny to come fuck Dorothy.
Yeah.
And I'll watch.
That makes me the cuck.
Only you're the cuck?
I'm the cuck, yes.
But Dorothy's into it. She's like, I want Danny to come and fuck me while you watch.
That just makes Dorothy a woman having sex.
That's not fair, I think.
Why?
Everyone should be shamed.
But cucks are named after the bird.
A cockatiel. A cockatrice.
That's a cockatiel. Oh. Yeah, that's a cock. There's a cock. It's a cuck is short for like the name of a bird. But the bird lays its eggs in other birds' nests.
Right.
And then I think that bird hatches first and eats all the eggs and leaves.
I think it's not fair. I don't think you should shame anyone for any kink unless it's peeing on minors. Cuck. Hashtag R. Kelly.
Love that we're back on R. Kelly. Cuck,
it's topical.
Cuck is not really a shameful... Like, being called a cuck is only bad because of the context of people calling people cucks online.
That's what I'm saying, though. But if you're like... If you came
That'd
on...
The, like me
if you're
you,
a cuck,
uh-huh.
Would you come on the podcast and we're chatting about it? Would you be comfortable to be like, yeah, I'm a cuck? No. But
probably,
if you're into like BDSM, you'd be like,
it.
Yeah, I'm into getting tied up.
If I was into, like, but like the thing is, where it's okay. You're so focused on a monogamous point of view where you're like, oh, like there's obviously negative connotations dictated to, oh, somebody else fucks my girlfriend or significant other or right. boyfriend or something like that. And like us being monogamous, being like, wow, you let somebody else fuck your blah, blah, blah.
Go on.
It's because we have a negative connotation towards the idea of Sari or Sora Dorothy being banged out by somebody else.
Try one more
I do
time
not
to
know
get
Sarah's name. I swear to God. All right. Sari. Fucking Sari and Dorothy.
Sorry.
Yeah. Because like we have the negative connotation of like them getting fucked by somebody else and then let alone watching it happen.
I'm fine with all of it. Like it's not me. I'm saying I think the connotation exists and I want to remove it. I don't think people should be shamed for being cucks, is
They're
what
not.
I'm saying. I think they are.
I mean, like...
Because it's a derogatory term.
But only... But
it's like how you... The reason you can't, jokingly, except for this bit, because we had context. You, like, on other days, if we didn't have the context of me getting called gay by a stand-up comedian, you can't be like, yeah, Danny's gay. That was so gay of you. Because even though being gay, we don't believe is wrong.
Uh-huh.
There is like,
well, speak for yourself.
Well, yeah.
All right. Over here. Big
yeah,
ones
until
on my
Walmart
side.
Pays me.
Yeah, exactly.
But the calling someone a term derogatorily implies that the real underogatory version of that term is negative. Like if I'm like, you're gay, the joke is that you're not. And that it would be
bad
if you
I
were.
Was.
Yeah. So if I'm like, you're a cuck, which I have said in the past.
Yeah, absolutely have.
If I'm like, you're a cuck, the joke is that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would be bad if you were.
Yeah. So, yes. Is this us like uniting with Cucks Anonymous?
I will no longer call Nick a cuck, I guess is what I am getting at.
I'm gonna post a.
How did we get to this? Anyway, Bluey.
I'm gonna make my profile picture a picture of a man getting fucked by somebody else and somebody watching. Not the black squares, but we're just doing. We're standing with cucks, ladies and gentlemen. We're standing with cucks. Sneeko, good job. We're proud of you.
This really fucking spiraled. Anyway, Bluey.
What about it?
The parents and Bluey engage in cuckery.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone noticed in a scene, I see you want to talk, just say it or okay, don't give me a fuck me lips.
Why are they fucking? Why are they fucking in the children's
show? The parents and Bluey were caught having, there was a scene where like two characters are in the bedroom and there's a chair facing the bed, a cuck chair. There's a chair facing the bed and people on Twitter, which I will never call X, were saying, oh, that's a cuck chair, like jokingly. And then the lead animator of Bluey got fired because it was a cuck chair. He got fired because, assumedly, people found out and he said something along the lines. This is all alleged. This is what I believe he said. Assumedly, he went, oh, I didn't think they'd notice, but yeah, it is. Because he admitted that it was and that people wouldn't notice. And so they fired his ass because canonically... he made it. That
he made the
cuck.
Parents of Bluey cucks.
Yeah.
And this is why you're on their side now, because you're a big Bluey parent guy?
Yeah, anything Bluey teaches me, I agree with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of yeah. course. I've seen all of the episodes. Why was it, okay, why wasn't he just like, it's a chair. Why are we being weird about this?
I think that's why, because he could have said that.
Always lie.
He could have said that and not get fired. I think people brought it up to him. They're like, people think this is a cuck chair. And he was like, oh my God, I didn't think they'd notice.
What? Yeah. I would have been like, what's a cuck chair?
I think he thought they'd find it funny.
Yeah.
Like the other crew members. And they're like, what, Bill?
Yeah, like fucking people are yelling at us on Twitter. Bluey's weird though, because Bluey's like actually watched by adults, even though it's meant for children.
People love it. It's like My Little Pony.
Well, yeah, I guess. But like, it's at the same time, it's like, oh, it's like there's like built-in adult jokes into SpongeBob. Mm-hmm. For the adults who are watching it with their kids. So, like, I'd like to think that there was, like, some adult out there who, like, chuckled at the idea that there was a cuck chair in the Bluey's, like, parents' room.
Yeah.
Wild.
I know.
Do you want to hear my news?
No.
And that's the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a commit seppuku, all right?
Yeah.
No, so Call of the Night got a second season.
I don't know what that
you,
is.
You haven't seen season one of Call of the Night?
No.
But it was the Funimation thing or something like that?
That's your news? I thought your news was going to be Naruto-related.
Well, that's my best boy. We're getting there.
Okay, go on.
The Fuji TV Anime Lineup Press Conference 2024 event on Monday revealed that the television anime of Kodayama's Call of the Night, also known as Yufukashi no Uta, manga will get a second season. And there was a teaser trailer and a visual that came out. And I am fucking stoked. And now you all have to, this is your yearly reminder to rebuy High Dive for, for like 2 months.
Gross.
For like, this is why you haven't seen Call of the Night, because it's only on High Dive, which is fucking awful, but Call of the Night is incredible. And the opening is done by Creepy Nuts, who is the person who did the bring bum bum, bring bum bum, bring bum bum bum. And
for anyone
so
who
good.
Doesn't know what bring bum bum means,
hey, listen,
you-
if you're watching this podcast, you know the Jersey Beat Mashal opening that took over TikTok for 2 goddamn months.
Call of the Night looks sick, like art style-wise.
Call of the Night is sick. It's a story about a boy who falls in love with a vampire, and the vampire is very scantily clad, and she's very sexy, and then he becomes a vampire later on, and then the show is no longer about romance.
The vampire is like straight up just Toga, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Like 100% the character design's just Toga.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like, well, somehow more scantily clad than Toga, but yeah.
Yeah.
Unless Toga's, like, mid-switching skin, in which case she's just naked.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So huge. Huge if you like Call of the Night, because
huge if you, for all those High Dive fans out there.
Speaking of High Dive and anime and things happening right now, it's a terrible segue, but are we not going to talk about the Anime Awards?
It's like pretty much what we expected, right? What were some shakeups? We also aren't talking about the Oscars.
Who gives a fucking shit about the Oscar? Oh, a bunch of billionaires flew their private jets to glaze each other over who cried the best on screen.
I'm trying to get the algorithm to pick us up. I'm talking about the Oscars. I'm talking about R. Kelly. I'm talking about everything big right now.
Oh, listen, make R. Kelly the host of the Oscars. Let's see if fucking... Listen, we had Joe Coy fucking joking about titties and Barbie and whatever the fucking other one was.
Yeah, careful of the splash zone with R. Kelly.
Yeah, you do not want to sit in the first three rows when R. Kelly is hosting. I actually don't know what won everything for the Anime Awards. I think, I mean, obviously, Anime of the Year.
Vinland Saga won nothing,
which is crazy. Yeah. MAPPA took up, what, like 19 out of the 33 awards or something like that?
Which checks out. They were like 19 out of 33 anime of the year.
Yeah, so here, I'm going to pull up the full winners list here. So yeah, Megan Thee Stallion, blah, 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 blah. So anime of the year, Jujutsu Kaisen. So what's weird is anime of the year was Jujutsu Kaisen Hidden Inventory / Premature Death.
Mm-hmm.
So the first six or seven episodes, not the second part. Which means that there's a possibility that the second part of the second season might be up for contention next year.
That one?
Because, yeah, so it's Anime of the Year, Hidden Inventory / Premature Death.
Wow, imagine losing to like six episodes.
Literally seven episodes. But I mean, like, arguably some of the most like well-directed and gorgeous episodes of anime I've ever seen in my entire life.
For sure.
But that might mean the Shibuya incident goes up next year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Against nothing.
Against.
Seemingly. Demon Slayer.
I think we're getting MHA's last-ish season towards the end of the year. We're also getting to Dawn this year. Kaiju number 8.
Oh, yeah.
Also, did you see the trailer for Loser Rangers?
No.
You didn't see the trailer for Loser Rangers?
They've had one. They had one before.
Ranger Rejects?
A new one?
Ranger Rejects.
New trailer?
Yeah, they dropped a new trailer.
Oh, crazy.
You should watch it. You should watch it right now.
Kaiju number 8 looks so fucking sick.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Watch the trailer. We're going to take a pause.
Okay.
Watch the trailer for Ranger Rejects right now. I'll talk to chat. All right, did you finish it?
Mm-hmm.
How fucking cool does that look?
Looks pretty cool.
What do you mean pretty cool?
Looks pretty cool. It's no Kaiju number 8.
What? It's okay. I mean,
I love the concept. The concept is the most exciting.
It's the boys meets Power Rangers.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Awesome.
It's really, really cool. So that's exciting.
It's also like Super Crooks. It's like, like Super Crooks is the whole thing. It's like the like anime good guys are actually the villains, and then the villains have to like kill all the heroes because they're like awful people.
It's a subversion on Power Rangers.
On Power Rangers. Yeah. And I feel like there's no good Power Rangers media in the world right now. Like, obviously, there's like Futo P.I., which is like a Super Saiyan kind of thing, which is based off Kamen Rider.
Gotcha.
But which was like the OG. But there's like really only that. And like having Power Ranger type media come back into like the fold makes me so happy because fucking love Power Rangers, man.
Yeah.
And I love a subversion and the villains being the good guys so goddamn much. So that's like what I'm most excited for this year. I would say it's like Ranger Rejects, Kaiju number 8, Dadon, and then probably MHA. MHA is skittering out.
Yeah.
MHA needed to be over like 4 years ago, I think.
MHA like lost all of its hype like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's just like, the hype just gets usurped. Well, also, season 5, nobody liked.
There's so much good shit happening everywhere else.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's unfortunate that JJK came out basically at the time of the Class 1A versus 1B thing, which was pretty good. But, like, seasons 5 and 6 weren't great.
Yeah.
And, like, while that was happening, Demon Slayer was hitting its fucking stride.
Yeah.
JJK was hitting its stride. And it's like MHA's manga is pretty good right now. It's actually probably only like 5 chapters away from being over. Like, it's like MHA's manga is almost done.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about because it's been around for like 13 years. But it's like kind of hitting this weird slowdown phase while there's other things like breaking the ceiling, like shooting out the sky.
Right.
And so it's like kind of fallen to like 5th or 6th and even my rotation. Like, I'm more excited to read Chainsaw Man nowadays than I am the MHA.
Yeah. I think you get like one miss before you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause even Demon Slayer was on top of the world and then season 3 comes out and nobody gives a shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the new season's coming out. No one's excited.
Yeah.
Nobody cares because like, they got one miss, and now it's like, oh, Demon Slayer's mid, JJK is peak anime.
Also, I feel like JJK is kind of fucking everything for everybody because it's ostensibly perfect.
Yeah.
Like, it's like there's very few, there's like almost nothing for me, at least, that I can look at JJK and pick apart. It's like Hunter x Hunter for me, where I'm like, there's nothing I dislike about this.
Yeah.
And like, that's because I enjoy being over-explained to. I enjoy fucking thought bubbles explaining 8 different ways a technique can work and if it's on Sunday and rainy and all this kind of bullshit. And so JJK, I absolutely adore. So like, it running, it's kind of like trying to release an anime while the big three was out. And you're like, okay, the big three as it currently stands is probably Chainsaw Man, JJK, and what? Chainsaw Man, if you had to choose a big three, like the biggest three, at least in America right now.
I guess Demon Slayer is still up there.
Three,
it's just like, it's just at the bottom
but
of
MHA
the three.
But MHA is now, I mean, it was probably Attack on Titan until Attack on Titan ended.
Yeah,
and now, like, MHA kind of like steps into that role now that Attack on Titan's gone. Or no, not MHA. No, Demon Slayer steps in that role, and which leaves MHA kind of in like the blue hair fucking.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, what is it?
God damn it. When we did the movie ranked things, it was just all of those movies.
Gintama.
It puts it in the Gintama spot where it's like, you had the unfortunate like reality of running alongside the three most popular anime of all time, but you're still incredible.
I know, there really isn't like, and like, Solo, this whole year, I don't see any of these, like, Solo Leveling's pretty good, but it's no, like, JJK or Chainsaw Man. Or Demon Slayer.
I put it in the same like categorization as Blue Lock, because Blue Lock also kind of came out like at its like on its own. Like there was like nothing it was else running against, and I was like, this is good enough to carry a season, but it's not good enough to run along with the big hitters.
But I don't know if this year has any but Demon Slayer, and hopefully Demon Slayer like is a good arc, but it's the training
it's
one,
the
so
training
it's not.
Arc. It's not great.
So it's like it's tough. I really don't think like Kaiju number 8. I don't know. I don't know if I see that being the next like Chainsaw Man in terms of like
it's really
scale
good.
And hype.
It's really good.
If it's really good, then it is. I don't see that being Loser Ranger either.
I want Ranger Rejects to fucking pop up.
If maybe Dandadan, because I know people like the manga.
Dandadan is
enough.
Also, I'd say Dandadan is better than Kaiju number 8, but I don't think it's going to be as well publicly received because it's weirder than Kaiju number 8.
No, but I disagree because I think we're in an era where an anime needs to be weird to become the next, like, contender of a big three. Like, My Hero's the safest one.
Is JJK weird?
What do you mean? It's so weird.
It's basically Bleach.
It's so weird and borderline incomprehensible.
Okay, but it's basically Bleach.
I know it is a Bleach ripoff, but, like, but it's so weird.
I know it's weird. But it also
looks different. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these, I don't think an anime can look like every other anime anymore. Because Chainsaw Man and JJK both
have their own styles.
Demon Slayer looks unlike any other anime, gorgeous. Except Fate, technically.
Yeah.
And then, what, like, Attack on Titan looked unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, Bleach came out. And, like, no one really gave a shit.
Yeah.
Like, and it used to be huge. Like, people should have cared more.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. That came out. I'm trying to think of, like, what other things kind of came. Like, Hell's Paradise. No one gave a shit about.
Because it was, like, muted palettes. It's a story you've heard before. It's like, oh, you're on an island. You're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
All of the bosses kind of look the same. Like, all of the final bad guys, like, the flower people.
It,
all
like,
have,
like, looks
two
like your standard Adult Swim anime. Yeah. And I feel like anime need to come out looking weird as hell.
Yeah.
For people to like,
that's kind of my hang up with Ninja Kamui, and I'm like, I love that the fights are really cool, but I'm like, oh, this is just, it's just it's the story, you know,
exactly.
It's the story we've heard 1,000 times before.
Yeah, and I don't see Solo Leveling like, I don't know, I don't see us talking about Solo Leveling like JJK and others.
Well,
later
if Solo Leveling continues to be adapted at this speed, it won't be done. It's gonna be like at least 100 episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got a while until, like, Solo Leveling is going to be continued.
True, but
it's going to get season
Man,
two.
Chainsaw Man was gigantic with 8 episodes.
Here.
You know? Here?
Chainsaw Man. Yeah, it was gigantic here. It wasn't gigantic in Japan.
Oh, but I'm never talking about Japan.
I guess.
You know
but
what
like,
I mean?
The thing is with Solo Leveling, it's gigantic in Korea, Japan, and here.
Right.
So it's like, because it got released in this time span where there's not a lot else going on, and it's a manhwa being adapted in Japanese and English, it's big in big places.
Right.
So it's going to get its entire run.
Oh, for sure.
And I think once it gets its entire run and it's like, you know, able to do like it's all 100 episodes, we're going to talk about it a lot differently than at 9 episodes.
Yeah. I just mean in terms of like, if I go to a box lunch store, I don't know if I'll ever see any Solo Leveling merch.
You'll see some, but not nearly as much as, you know, MHA,
like Demon
JK,
Slayer
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff like that. Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I wonder what the next huge American one is, and I don't know if this year has one.
Kaiju number 8, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's got the best chance.
Yeah.
Mashal is also kind of doing a thing where, like, people are, like, Frieren was really, really big. And mostly because, like, the second half of Frieren, like, the last 6 episodes were, like, crazy.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
They were, like, nuts. Like, it's, like, Fate-level laser attacks and all that. Really cool stuff. And so Frieren was really popular, but, like, it's kind of run its course, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, the long-lasting story that's going to, like, stick around, I thought that Undead Unlock had a chance. It's not going to be that.
I know, I did too. Yeah, that sucks.
I think it's going to end up being probably kaiju, if anything.
Yeah.
But also, Solo Leveling is like the hottest thing in the streets right now. So like maybe we're being like too fucking dull, like
close-minded.
Yeah, exactly. Like thick-headed about it.
I guess so.
So
do you have go on.
I was going to go over the awards here.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
So JJK swept fucking everything.
Yeah.
So anime of the year was JJK. Best action, JJK. Best animation, what would you guess?
It was Demon Slayer, right?
It was Demon Slayer.
Yeah, that's something. It looked good. It did not look good.
But it's the worst season of animation for Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer, yeah. But I guess it's just hidden inventory that we're comparing it to. But even that, I thought was better than JJK.
I mean, it wasn't like Vinland Saga was going to beat it. It wasn't like AOT. Like AOT wasn't going to beat it, Sure. So actually, it was the first episode, not the second episode of the Broke Up Finals.
I hate these awards.
I know, right? Best anime song was Idol.
Cool.
The Oshinoko one, which is fucking gas. I'm totally fine with that. Best art direction.
JJK?
Demon Slayer.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess. I know. Demon Slayer looked very good.
But it wasn't artistically driven.
It didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the entirety of I feel like the aquarium scene in JJK alone gets you best artistic direction.
Yeah.
Like it's like there was so much like the musical score, like the scenes that they chose, the use of negative space, the use of silence.
The VHS filter over the flashbacks, the bun bleeding.
Yeah. Things made it genuinely unsettling. So artistic direction going to there is crazy. Best character design.
We have to remember this is a popularity contest. It's for not sure. Judges.
Well, best cinematography did go to JJK.
Good.
So that's cool. Best comedy. Spy X Family.
Right.
Best continuing series.
The One Piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
You might as well just literally don't even vote on that one anymore.
I know. Yeah.
Don't vote on it anymore. It's literally always going to be One Piece.
Dude, when One Piece ends, I feel like I'm going to feel the same sensation as when Akira Toriyama died.
Probably.
One Piece not being around anymore is going to be such a weird fucking era.
It's been around for almost 20. It's probably going to run for almost 30 years by the time it's over.
Everyone's going to be like, so what, Oda, what's next? And he's going to be like, I'm going to die.
Rest.
What do you mean?
Genuinely, if he just crumples into dust after he writes the last page, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, they'll be like, so Oda, what's next for you? And a gust of wind comes and sand and
like his entire purpose on Earth was to write this one goddamn story and that's it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being Eshiro Oda and just putting down the pencil one day and just being like, and then just you're just like, do I go fish? What the fuck do I do?
It's gonna be news reports Ichiro Oda, the final chapter of One Piece found under the corpse of Ichiro Oda.
That's it, right? The second he's and the One Piece was the friends we made along the way, period. Heart stops.
Yeah,
absolutely. Best director, JJK. Best drama, Attack on Titan.
There's not that many dramas in anime that aren't, because that's not a drama. It's an action. It's action adventure.
It's definitely not dramatic. I would, because a lot of people were upset about the wedding one or the husband one or fucking what is it called? My husband or something about a wedding and a husband. Yeah. They wanted that to win drama and best romance.
There's just not a lot of Death Note or monster. Anime yearly.
Yeah.
At least not that get recognized. Because those are dramas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan is definitely a mech anime.
Yeah, it's
with
a mech
flushes.
Anime. Yeah. Yeah.
So that being called drama is kind of crazy. There is a little bit of politics, but that's it. Best new series?
Best new series. What did we really like?
You'll
was Zom 100?
Chainsaw Man.
Let's go.
Yeah,
I forgot
go.
About that.
There you go.
Let's go. Yeah.
Best original anime. We talked about it a lot. It made me cry.
Made you cry.
Original anime.
I don't know what the fuck original
no
anime
manga.
Is anymore. Bocchi?
Bocchi the Rock?
Yeah.
I don't think Bocchi the Rock. I think
Made
Bocchi
you
the...
cry. I know it. I remember
we talking
about
it. We talked
about
it a lot. There was we covered every single episode. We were the only people who were talking about it. Buddy Daddies.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Right. Fucking incredible though. So very, very happy.
Wow. I can't believe that was this year.
It was last year technically, but yeah. Best voice actor performance was Senku. Oh, for Arabic, my bad. Never mind. And then best slice of life was Bocchi the Rock.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was our wrap up on the anime awards. I have a best boy. You want to talk best boys?
Yep.
My best boy? The Naruto live action.
Why is that?
Because I may possibly be involved.
That's insane that worked. I actually owe you such an apology.
You know what's wild? What? It didn't really work.
Oh.
You know what did work?
What?
Nepotism. Going to carrot Your parties. Mommy? No, yeah. It's my mommy emailed.
Wow, carrot finally pulled through.
Sort of, kind of. I'm not sure yet.
I'm not going to apologize then until you finish this.
Okay, can
segment.
I? Yeah, let me get there. All right, I see you want to talk. Shush your goddamn lips. So I have a call with Ian Boggs today, who is trying to be the Naruto live action actor.
Oh.
He's a YouTuber. He does like VFX stuff. Very popular. And so
trying to play Naruto.
He's trying to play Naruto. He's Japanese. He's very, very famous. And so I met him through carrot parties, through Steven, through everybody. So all of the friends that I've made in content, I'm now grabbing onto their coattails as hard as I can and saying, oh, please, Mr. 30 million subs on YouTube, man, help me be the Naruto guy. And because they know I'm the Naruto guy, they might actually help. So Steven, me, and Ian are trying to get involved in the Naruto live action, because we're all big Naruto fans and they have way more clout than I do, but I'm the fucking Naruto guy. So I have a call with Ian at 4 to talk about the Naruto live action.
That's hype.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Can I weigh in?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be Naruto.
You don't think he's going to be Naruto?
He's so old.
He's old.
They're going to cast like a 12-year-old.
You think so?
Yeah.
He could be
Kakashi. He's 25.
As long as he's in.
Yeah,
if he
exactly.
gets his fucking foot in the
That's
door.
That's all that matters for you.
Yeah.
I think it's funny he's auditioning for 12-year-old Naruto.
He wants to be Naruto.
Yeah. He can be. You know, well, good on him.
I got invited to a premiere last night for a movie called Snake Shack.
Snakes in a Burger.
Snakes in a Burger. I got invited to a movie last night for a premiere called Snack Shack.
Yeah.
And the movie was about 2 14-year-olds who run a snack shack for the summer and make a bunch of money off
right.
it. The actors were 23. So, you know.
You never know.
As long as you look like a child.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could go both ways because the One Piece cast are all older.
Oh, yeah.
But the live action Avatar cast, which we didn't talk about at all, actually.
I didn't watch it. Everyone was like, oh, it's bad.
Yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
Well, everyone was like, oh, listen, if it was like Madam Web bad, I would have watched it. But everyone was like, oh, it's fine.
Watch the first episode. We'll talk about it next week. We should talk about it.
I don't want to.
I'm going to next week.
I don't. Have you seen it?
I saw the whole thing.
Oh.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Momo dies.
Momo fucking dies?
Momo dies.
What?
You going to watch it now?
In the first episode?
No. Last episode.
They fucking kill Momo?
Yeah, Momo.
Why?
Because it's funny.
That's so fucked. He's
so funny.
I mean, I'm not going to say he's integral to the story, but like.
Anyway.
That's wild.
This dude, Ian Boggs, totally. I'm sure he auditioned for Zoro. Would have been a sick Zoro. He looks just like Zoro.
Oh, for One Piece?
Yeah, for One Piece.
I guess.
But what I was going to say, but the live action Avatar.
But also the casting for Zoro was fucking perfect.
Yeah, he was great.
Makinu's awesome.
But they cast age accurate for Avatar, but they didn't for
One Piece.
So who knows what we're doing. I think they're going to go kids. Especially because
everything. But you think One Piece was better than Avatar The Last Airbender.
But here's the other thing. That is not the fault of like.
The
concept of children.
I guess.
I thought the acting was bad, but the original...
The acting was bad.
The original show, Avatar, is all played by kids.
No.
Yes.
No, okay, they were kids was at a the child. Town. Dante
so
Bosco
was Aang.
Wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Yes.
Dante Bosco was a child.
Dante was older.
But he was playing Zuko.
But like Sokka, Aang, and I'm pretty sure Katara were all kids.
Really?
I know Aang was. And Toph was.
Interesting.
Yeah. They just didn't get... kids or a good director. I don't want to say they got kids who act bad.
But were not good actors.
Yeah, but it's like also like Stranger Things, great cast of well-acting kids. Game of Thrones, those kids acted really well. Kids can act well. I think it's annoying and bullshit when people are like, oh, they're kids, they can't act. Kids can act.
Kids can definitely act.
Yeah, there's movies and shit with good acting kids.
Macaulay Culkin. He destroyed his life,
yeah.
But you know, he's...
Looper.
As in like the...
The time travel thing with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, what child is in Looper?
Like the main kid. Young Bruce Willis or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Young Bruce Willis
There's
is
There's a kid with psychic powers.
God, am I not remembering fucking Looper?
Yeah.
The one where they have shotguns and they kill people?
Yeah.
There's a kid with
kid. He's like the main plot
device. What's the other one who was in 500 Days of Summer?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's also in it.
I thought he was young Bruce
Willis.
He is
young Bruce Willis. I think I was wrong. I don't think the kid is.
Yeah, I don't think.
But the kid's in it. He's a main part of the story.
I don't fucking remember
anything. Anyway, I don't think Naruto's going to be 25. I think he's going to be 12.
Maybe.
And I think what I was going to say is part of it is the issue we foresee with One Piece, where it's like,
Emily Rudd's going to be like 50 by the time they get to like anywhere.
Yeah, Alabasta. Yeah. Like, you can, like, a 20-year-old can pull off 15. I agree. A 30-year-old cannot pull off 18. 16. Yeah, yeah, like, so it's like, I think they want to cast young.
Fuck yeah, Nami is 16 until time skip, she's 19.
I think you want to cast young because they want this shit to last, like, years and years and years.
Yeah.
Everyone wants their Marvel right now.
Well, Naruto's a movie, so it's not the Naruto live action, which I guess could have been my news as well. There was a Naruto live action announced by Lionsgate, and it's just the movie.
But regardless, it's like, they, I'm sure, want like 10 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you started,
I think so.
If you started, everyone wants Marvel, you know?
But like, okay, but here's my thing. Like, all right, so are you just going to adapt the first, like, you're just going to adapt the tune-in exams?
For sure.
No, but there's no stakes.
I don't, well, that's what I want to ask you actually is, what, you think they're going to go to pain in the first movie?
I don't, that's my thing. It's like, I don't know why they're choosing a movie.
Yeah, that was my
idea.
It
makes no sense to me that they're choosing a movie, because I'm like, all right, what part do we hop in? Do we hop in from the beginning? And it's like, hi, I'm Naruto. We're doing Land of Waves and then the tuning exams. And it's like, cool.
Yeah, do you think they just do Zabuza?
Maybe.
That's,
you could do Zabuza. You could do the Land of Waves in, you could do the Land of Waves in 30 minutes.
Yeah, true.
You gotta skip some shit, but you can do the Land of Waves in 30 minutes. Like, we're fighting Zabuza, we built the bridge.
When's Orochimaru come? Is that post?
Orochimaru is,
That's pre-tuning.
No, it's post-tuning exams. That's Konoha Crush Arc, which is the arc after the tuning exams. Because they're in the final, like, 1v1s, and Gaara gets stabbed by Sasuke Chidori, he gets cut, he yells my blood, he activates his big old...
Yeah. Orochimaru comes during Shikaku. That? Orochimaru comes during that.
Because he's dressed up as the Kasekage.
Wow, good arc.
Great arc.
Yeah,
I don't think you would get that far.
No,
and that's the thing.
Its own movie.
Yeah, but then you're ending on the tuning exams. And then you're like, okay, cool. What did we get? What was accomplished?
Well, no, I think the second movie, tuning exams, the Gaara shit, Orochimaru, and it ends on that. Like, it's the full tuning exam arc.
Okay, so you want the first movie to just be the Land of Waves?
I think it has to be.
And the prologue?
I think that's all it can be.
But then you're like, okay, the Land of Waves arc is, that's basically episodes 1 to 24. It's like 1 to 22 is the Land of Waves arc. You can skip the majority of the prologue.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, open it like how Naruto opens. Kurama's destroying the village. Naruto's born. Everybody hates him. You can do the Land of Waves arc in 35, 40 minutes.
If you, here's how it works. It actually works. If you beef up Zabuza, and it's like, I think the movie needs to be like, it opens on like Naruto, either like, you know, they're trying to take down the Ninetale Fox, like the backstory of that. Opens on Naruto's backstory. Then cut to present day Naruto, he's being goofy. Then you cut to Zabuza and Haku's backstory way before you meet them. And it's interweaving Zabuza and Haku and Naruto.
And then they meet
and then
in
they
the middle.
Meet, and then it's the fight. And I think it needs to be that, because I really don't think you have time for the tune-in exams.
For the Land of Waves and the tune-in exams.
Yeah. And then by the end...
That's fair.
And you, like, really beef up, like, building Naruto's character, building up the world. Because they have a fucking 1,000 kids to introduce.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, and they need to introduce them in the first one, so then in the tuning exams...
The Sasuke retrieval arc is where they actually become important.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I think you spend the first hour, like, getting to know Naruto, Sasuke, because you also have to do, like, the Bells test and stuff.
True. That's the prologue.
Yeah, there's a lot to do in the prologue. First hour's prologue, second hour's Land of Waves.
Okay, but then you've accomplished 24 episodes.
That's okay.
Of a 700-episode anime.
That's like 300 episodes without filler.
It's like 40% filler, so it's closer to 400 episodes.
If you go to Lionsgate and you're like, hey, we got to do this whole series in two movies, you're going to get laughed at a thing. They want 11 Naruto movies.
I feel like that's how anime adaptations have done it forever. They just smash as much as they can in. Okay, but think about
it. They're all bad.
But think about it from the perspective of the One Piece live action.
Yeah.
They did basically everything until they hit the Grand Line, which is episode 63-ish in 8 hours of content.
Yeah. So by that logic, 2 hours.
would be like about 20 episodes. Fuck, you're right.
Wow, look at that.
But you just
pointed a gun at me and then realized the barrel was pointed at you.
It was a little Bugs Bunny situation here. But my thing is, movies have a way higher budget than a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's way harder to put out like 20 movies than a bunch of seasons of a TV show streaming directly to Netflix.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, are we going to expect people to keep coming out over and over and over again? Are we going to keep this high-powered director for all 20 movies?
Wait, no, I don't think that's true because... depending on the show, like Avatar had a $15 million budget per episode.
That's crazy.
That's 15 times 8. Audience, you do the math.
15 times 8 is, 30 times 40. 4, which is 120 million.
Yeah, 120 million?
Yeah.
That's the price of a movie. It's the same price.
I guess, kind of,
yeah. So it's like not more expensive.
Now it is, yeah, at least.
Yeah, it's like the same price for how much people are putting. Percy Jackson, same thing, 120 million budget.
I struggle like being like, oh yeah, the Naruto live action is 10 fucking movies.
I think that's what they want. Like anyone buying a franchise like that, just the money logistics of it. They want 10 movies.
I guess
every studio wants a Fast and the Furious or a Marvel. That's why like DC keeps struggling to make a universe that people will be excited to come see. That's why I remember when Universal was like, we're making the monster universe.
Yeah.
We're making Dracula and Frankenstein and all these movies intertwine.
Mm-hmm.
If you were like, Universal is making a 10-movie Frankenstein Dracula series,
yeah,
I'd also think that's stupid. At least Naruto has the content.
Has the established fan base and everything.
Yeah. The amount of stories.
I think I'm just running into the same issue that I run into with the One Piece thing where I'm like, it's gonna take too much time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you did the Harry Potter books. I feel like the Harry Potter books are genuinely the best comparison. Uh-huh. And how many years did the Harry Potter movies take? Probably 8 years?
8 to 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't 10 years? I guess if you could get it done, but like, they were doing like a movie a year, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was because there was like was it DreamWorks? Who did them?
Universal.
That was all that Universal was focusing on. They're like, we are pumping out Harry Potter movies. And like, I just don't see that same speed being attached to the One Piece adaptation.
The Naruto.
No, but no. Oh, so like, I'm using the One Piece adaptation as my my foundation here.
Right.
And I'm like, sure, we've heard that season 2 is coming, but we haven't heard anything about season 2. If it was at this point with the Harry Potter movies, we'd have a fucking trailer by now or some shit.
I really don't think studios care. Like, I don't think they're like, oh, well, we got to make less movies because of their age. Like,
I think
they're going to keep making them. They don't care if the movies are good. They're going to keep making them until they stop making money.
I guess
that's the only time. Like Marvel. That's why Marvel exists. Nobody even likes their movies anymore.
Yeah, because they're all fucking bad. But the thing is, the reason that the Harry Potter movies work is because in the books, they get older every year.
Right.
Exactly. So they were like, oh, cool. The kids will age with the movies. We get them young and then they'll be old by the time that they're done. That's not how Naruto works. That's not how One Piece works. They're that age for fucking 500 episodes.
Right. But okay. How many arcs pre-Shippuden?
How many arcs?
Yeah.
They're like canon arcs?
Yeah.
So it's Prologue, Land of Waves, Chunin Exam, Konoha Crush, Sasuke Retrieval Arc. Four
arcs.
Yeah.
You get a 12-year-old, you do a movie per arc. By the time you get to Shippuden, he is 16. He is Shippuden age.
So you're saying they do 4 movies in 4 years?
Or even if you spread that, 12-year-old becomes... that's too many. That's a lot of years.
Yeah.
8 years.
20 years old?
20 years old. But 20 can play 15. If you're just like...
yeah, but 30 can't play 16 when he's, you know, when it's the war arc and they're trying to like fight Madara for 4 movies straight.
But I mean, you could fudge it. Like, just say they're getting a year older each time. Like, it's not like it needs to be...
as accurate as possible.
Well, it's not like even if, like, there was a year between each of those arcs, would anything really change?
Like age-wise or like
plot-wise?
I guess not really, but it's like the Chunin Exam plays directly into the Konoha Crush arc because Orochimaru is there dressed up as the Kazekage, and the only reason that the Sand Village is there
you do
is,
that one in one movie.
Yeah.
Chunin and Konoha Crush, that's one movie.
And I guess you could
say
after
14.
After the Konoha Crush arc, you could be like, oh, Sasuke's been stewing on this for a year before the Sasuke Retrieval arc. And there is a couple of months between the Sasuke Retrieval arc and
also,
the Konoha Crush arc.
You do the Sasuke Retrieval arc and the fight in one movie.
What fight?
Like Naruto versus Sasuke.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, you could very easily.
So what's the fourth pre-Shippuden arc?
So, Land of Waves.
Yeah.
Chunin Exams.
Yeah.
Konoha Crush.
Oh.
Sasuke Retrieval Arc.
It's 3 movies, because we combine
Chunin Exams and
Konoha Crush.
Yeah.
Easy combined.
You're forgetting how long the tuning exams are. That's the Forest of Death.
Yeah.
That's the...
Cut that. It's just a fighting tournament now.
Cut the Forest of Death?
It's just a fighting tournament now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No!
I think he could do it.
Then you're not establishing the fact that Gaara is the fastest to ever accomplish the Forest of Death. Orochimaru bites Sasuke in the Forest of Death. That's where he gets the curse mark.
Right.
That's,
you can do the Forest of Death in 10 minutes,
there's,
I think.
No, you could
I think you can.
Not.
It's so much
there's
fluff.
There's massive plot repercussions for Sakura, for Mike Guy, or for Rock Lee, for Sasuke exploring the curse mark for the first time, Naruto being helped. There's so much happening in the Forest of Death. You could do it in like 20 minutes, maybe.
How about this? You, before the One Piece show came out, you didn't think you could do all of, like, any of those arcs in one episode. Like, Arlong Park is 1 hour long. Baratier is, like, 1 hour long.
No, Baratier was a couple... No, you're forgetting.
Was it?
They did, like, three arcs in eight episodes.
Three arcs in eight episodes.
They did Usopp's arc in one episode. The fucking cat claw guy, where they were, like, hiding in the mansion. He was stabbing through the walls.
Yeah.
They did that one in, like, one episode. Yeah. The rest of them, like, Syrup Village, like, Nami's backstory, Arlong Park, all that, they did in, like, two, three episodes.
But would you think that you could crush three arcs in eight episodes of One Piece?
Three arcs? No, probably not.
Yeah, and, like, I think it's definitely possible. I think the problem is, like, if we went through together and, like, watched the Chunin exams and were, like, taking notes of, like, what is essential and what needs to be there for entertainment and plot.
Tons of things could be cut.
Yeah, you could whittle it down into 20 minutes at most.
Yeah.
And also, if it's the second movie, we don't need to really, like, establish Dick. Like, we can just...
Straight into it.
Yeah, it's like the fucking... What's it called? What's JJK Season 2 called?
It's the hidden inventory?
It becomes a Shibuya incident of movies, where it's like, okay, movie one was all fucking set up, this and that. Movie two, tournaments, terrorism, boom, you know?
I guess, kind of, yeah, as long as you can lead into it. I think they could do, like, four movies in, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
As long as, like, that way you keep, like, the crew relatively the same age. Yeah. You're like, hey, make sure the main character doesn't get into drugs or alcohol at, like, 13 years old. Yeah. So he doesn't age himself. And then, like, yeah, you can probably pull it off.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Get me in the goddamn room. I'm getting on a phone call about it at 4 p.m. Hopefully Ian's got good news for me, but who knows, honestly.
For sure.
Do you want to do a love letter?
Yeah, love letters.
So this is the part of the show where me and Danny poll our live audience of incredible viewers to ask us a question that we answer on live. And if you guys ever want to be one of those incredible viewers who watches our podcast live, you can become a YouTube member or a Patreon member and watch us live. Ask us questions that we answer. And, you know, just hang out, see the things that we cut, get a couple of extra pieces of content, like the fact that me and Danny post two extra videos a month, which we didn't do last month, I'll admit, because Nick was in China. And video gaming in China was very difficult. I didn't have enough Wi-Fi. All right, I couldn't even open Ready or Not. But this month to make up for it, this is so all of you know, this month to make up for it, me and Danny are going to be doing 4 hours this month. So we're doubling up this month to make you guys feel as though your purchase to spend more time with us is worth it. So, Danny, Pandamom asks, what's your favorite Dragon Ball reference in other media?
I will always love the ones that I grew up with more so than, like, when I see it now. Like, Billy and Mandy, like... Do you remember that? Them charging up and they get the spiky hair.
They both get the different colored spiky hair.
Yeah, it was always, like, whittled down to, like, a spiky hair and a scream.
Yeah.
Actually, what's yours? What's yours?
So mine is pretty much in the exact same vein. I think it was also a Cartoon Network show. Codename Kids Next Door.
Yeah.
They did, I think it actually might have been a Brawly reference, but they, like, went to the maximum extreme where, like, one of them literally, their hair became so large and so blonde that they couldn't hold it up.
Yeah.
And they were battling against what was, like, supposed to be either, like, a Frieza or a
cooler.
Yeah,
it's a Frieza. I was going to change my answer to that one because I remembered that they didn't just do a hair and Kamehameha reference. Yeah. They have a Frieza.
And it's like a multi-headed Frieza monster. Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's super cool. No, I always like when you saw those as kids, were you just like, holy shit, they're doing a thing I know.
I honestly didn't grow up. I kind of did grow up with Dragon Ball. I like the Budokai Tenchi 1. I played a lot. And so, like, I kind of knew Dragon Ball, but I didn't watch it until I was older. So I was like, oh, it's like a thing that I, like, I kind of understand. But, like, I probably didn't even understand it nearly as well as, like, I possibly could have if I watched Dragon Ball.
Oh, I was such a dick about it. I'd, like, call my dad and be like, Dad, I was like, what do you think's happening here? Do you get what's going on? I'd be like, not really. And be like, yeah, that's right. Go back in the kitchen.
Get the fuck out of your scrub. Yeah. You don't even know why he's screaming, all right?
Yeah.
You don't know how to charge a fucking energy ball.
I know. That was always so exciting. An energy ball. Energy look ball. At you. I know you said the game's name wrong too, and I was gonna let it slide.
Tenkai Budichi. Mm. Buddha Tenkai.
You're closer.
Tenkai Budichi?
You're close. Budichi. Swap them.
Budichi Tenkai.
Budokai.
Budokai Tenichi.
Tenkaichi.
Budokai Tenkaichi.
Yeah, you're like
seven.
Deleting syllables.
It's a fucking silly name. Yeah, all right. Yeah, what do you want from me?
It's long. It's for sure long. But all right.
Cool. All right, that's all we have for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with us. Me and Danny are still getting our podcasting shoes back on, but we're back, and I'm not going anywhere for at least a month and a half. So that's pretty good. Make sure you follow us on all the other platforms like TikTok, Instagram, all the short form things. All of our shorts on TikTok are going crazy. Everybody loves Stella. We've already told her she can come back on the show whenever, talk about BL. We appreciate you guys sticking with us after the 4 weeks that I was gone. We hope you loved the interview series. We know we loved doing it, but we're back. We're back to our roots. We know what we're doing. We're in the room. We're here. You guys love us. We're the reason you come watch it. We're going to surpass the Crunchyroll podcast one day, but we can't do that without you. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, send it to other people, because if we want anything, it's to be bigger than the people who literally own anime. Danny.
Yeah. And if you know anyone who listens to the Bluey podcast, tell them to stop.
Tell them to stop.
Because if that ever surpasses us, I will kill myself.
I'm standing on death's door.
Yeah.
It is the worst. It's like, hey, here's your bronze medal.
Yeah.
By the way, we killed fourth place. Yeah. Like, it's like, by the way, like, when you finished the race, the track crumbled like it was Batman.
Yeah.
And everyone else behind you died. Yeah. Because I cannot live with being that close to the Bluey podcast. All right. I'm NC Hammer23, also known as the Weeb Commander. You can find us everywhere. Go buy our merch. Danny made a bunch of it before we left. We haven't plugged it in a long time.
Yeah.
Daniel.
We got a bunch of cool merch. And read the descriptions of the merch. So I worked really hard on them. They're very funny.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've been Danny Mata. Subscribe to my YouTube page, Danny Mata. We didn't even talk about, I have so many shows I've been watching. Hasbin Hotel, Madoka Magica, Rebellion. The movie.
You're beyond me.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that next week.
Cool. See you there. Bye. Adios.